Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. It's the 25th day of February 2009 for this Wednesday edition of the Global Transmission. Coming up, we have State Senator Randy Brogdon from Oklahoma to talk about the state's rights move, continuing the drumbeat of awakening the states to the peril of world government and the enslavement system that is being set up all around us, and the constitutional right and duty of the states to rebel against this and to put the criminal federal government back in line and prosecute the foreign banker agents that have hijacked the nation. So Senator Randy Brogdon joining us coming up. And then we have F. William Engdahl coming on to talk about a host of issues, what's happening on the geopolitical front that is always informative. And also look at the economy with F. William Engdahl. So that is always very, very informative. In the meantime, we're going to open the phones up yet again at 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. In the meantime, we will go over the latest developments with the address of Congress. I guess he doesn't want to wait months until the scheduled ancestral, ceremonial, ancient rite of the State of the Union. This was an address of Congress, but the public can't tell the difference. And it was interesting watching all of those Congress critters, as some call them, and criminals, almost all of them, hardcore criminals, a large portion of them, those certainly in power, hardcore criminals, the committee chairman and others, predominantly. There they were, just a 10-minute standing ovation, just clapping and clapping and worshiping and kneeling and bowing like some primitive ritual to the war chief. And it really was a celebration of their robbery. I mean, when they signed the banker bailout bills, when they signed the stimulus bill, I've got video clips of Barney Frank. I'm probably putting it in the Obama deception. We're finishing the mastering in the next couple days. But I ought to pull this clip and play it on air. And they're laughing. They're celebrating. Nancy Pelosi is celebrating, laughing. They're giggling. It's so funny to steal all this money. He comes over and he says, "This is a solemn occasion. Stop it. They see you laughing." Then they all put fake long faces on. Oh, we're so concerned. It's terrible. Did you hear Obama say you need to all attend college? That's code word for you all need to be in national compulsory service, because that's all the colleges are going to be turned into. There won't be any real jobs for your college diploma other than jackbooting and surveilling your neighbors. I mean, that really is the new economy. They're converting it over to that. It's just amazing. And you heard him, the global carbon tax. But it's free market, just like nationalizing the banks. And it's free market, just like bailing out the foreign banks. It's free market, just like Joseph Stalin was. But you can tell, I'm looking at Obama, and I can tell you right now, most polls show him down by 15 points already in a month and 3 days. And I was looking into him and looking into his eyes, kind of like Bush looked into Putin's and saw a fellow kinsman. Well, I looked into Obama's eyes, and I can tell he knows they're going to have to carry out some terror attacks to get folks in line. He knows, like a balloon being lanced, that their agenda is stalling dead in the mud.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It's very simple. Barack Obama is the globalist pitchman for setting up the final phase of world government. Bankrupt the planet. He poses as the president of the planet. Everybody smiles back at his smiling face, and they stick the knife right in your gut. And they get their carbon taxes through to regulate every facet of your life, control every facet of your life, squeeze all small and medium-sized businesses out of existence. That is the stated goal of carbon taxes, and they will be paid to the exploding local, federal, international government bureaucracy that's mushrooming everywhere. And their answer to the border imploding will be to just set up a North American Union, as the SPP document states, Security and Prosperity Partnership. Their answer to all the crises they create is giving them more power. But Obama is going ahead with carbon taxes. Now, there's a tactic they use. I'm going to break down some of his speech. There's a tactic they use over and over and over again. They go off a playbook. It's just Obama executes it a lot better than Bush because, frankly, Bush was lazy. I mean, Obama sometimes gives 10, 15 speeches a day as president. He's constantly running around pitching and selling and, you know, flying back and forth across the country because they've got to get this agenda through now. There's a tactic they use. They will have all these states, Texas, Oregon, California, New York, I mean, just all of them, under federal funding and guidelines, have already started putting satellite tracker boxes in thousands of cars per state. 800 and something Austinites are being paid to put the government satellite tracker boxes in through a, quote, beta test. And they admit it is to put it in statewide. And then they have the head of transportation department come out and say, yeah, we're going to move in the next 2 years by 2011 to have all cars in the U.S. fitted with these satellite boxes. They don't call them tracker boxes. That's what they are. To tax you by the mile on all roads. And the federal proposals, the Texas proposal stated that we're talking about hundreds of dollars just to travel across the state. Upwards of $6+ a mile during peak times. And those big road signs you see everywhere, they'll be advising you, oh, you shouldn't be on the road right now. You're going to be charged for a congestion fee. You're always telling you it's your fault. This is why this is happening to you. Paying over and over and over again for roads you already paid for. So the tactic is, they let opposition build all of this, the satellite boxes, and then Obama comes out last Friday and says, we're not going to do this. And then all of the grassroots movement's building just collapse. Oh, everything's fine. Oh, they're not doing it now. And then we have to, as they move forward with the plan, putting the system in, and as the government pushes major companies in China and other places to build the boxes by the tens of millions, as they build up the infrastructure, we then have to go out and say, no, they really are going to do this. See, I'd warn you 12, 13 years ago about this from federal plans, and they would just say conspiracy theory doesn't exist. Now they're pushing it, setting it up, doing it, and then when you mount opposition, they say, oh, we're not doing that. It's the same thing with the methane tax on geese, chicken, pigs, cows. The EPA is moving ahead with it. States are moving ahead with it. They will beta test it in mutualized, federally, internationally controlled cities that have signed agreements so that they'll get bond loans. That's how the bankers take control of your local area, not just your entire nation or state. And so they're coming in there, moving ahead with the flatulence tax. Canada now has flatulent taxes. Europe has flatulent taxes in many countries. They are now proposing in Europe a human flatulence tax. See, the New York Times even stated it in the headline a year ago, a tax to breathe, but then went on to say it was good. But not just breathing, you know, gases are going both ways here. So there's going to be per body weight and per height, you will be taxed for the flatulence. You will also be taxed an extra tax on sewage treatment for global warming because of methane off-gassing from the sewage plants. I'm not kidding. You can Google this and read thousands of articles and government documents. I was doing research for the end of the film, The Obama Deception, a few days ago. It was going back over all the taxes, and we couldn't list them all. It's more than 100. It's everything. Everything. Everything is carbon-based. This is a carbon-based planet. We're a carbon-based life form. It's not just taxing the carbon cycle. It's taxing everything. Now, they're moving ahead with the flatulence tax on animals and then on humans. And that's not me making a joke. You can Google flatulence tax. You can Google flatulence tax on humans and read the UN reports. Now, this builds to crescendo, and then the New York Times goes, yo, farmers are panicking like crazy. They don't like it, but it's been canceled. And then you read the article, and it's not canceled. So the opposition builds, and then in the past they would just say, it doesn't exist. Here's your tax bill. It doesn't exist. And the citizens would say, does not exist, does not exist, does not exist. Now people are going, I'm not going along with this. They say, okay, we're not going to do it. Then you read the next paragraph, until next year. Take the one leg of the NAFTA superhighway, the one that got publicized because we've been fighting it. There's 34 of them going in all over the nation. Under the executive order, they hand the roads over to foreign companies, predominantly Spanish, Australian, British, and others. They just give it to them. It's all part of IMF and World Bank deals. They're seizing the infrastructure. The globalists say, we'll keep giving the U.S. loans for the U.S. to have the right to print its own money. That's how the little fraud works. But you have to accept these 100-plus point plan we have. The IMF World Bank stipulations for countries in receivership. Receivership they designed. They just, with a stroke of a pen, create all the money to buy the world. As the founding fathers told you, as British lords told you, as the former head of the World Bank told you, as the former head of the Bank of England has said, it's the same system over and over again. And so now that we were fighting it here in Texas, they're building it. I mean, they're building these roads and seizing existing roads and have billboards up saying Trans-Texas Corridor. And then the state's own website admits it's part of the NAFTA Superhighway Corridor system, and all the SPP documents say it. And they just have CNN come on TV and Fox and say it doesn't exist. We're insane. Well, that didn't work because Texans and Oklahomans and others saw the corridor signs and the toll road signs in Florida and New Jersey. And so they said, okay, we're canceling the Trans-Texas Corridor. Just Google Trans-Texas Corridor canceled. Then you read the second paragraph and it says, oh, we're still doing the whole thing. We're just renaming it and breaking it down into subsections. Then they have neocons write news articles about me going, Alex, where's the NAFTA highways? Where are they being built? Why don't you show us? Again, just people wanting to be deceived, wanting to be lied to. So this is the tactic they carry out over and over again. It's like Obama saying, yeah, we're going to close Guantanamo Bay. Then you read the executive order. It says we're going to look at it in the next year, but we're going to continue rendition, secret arrest, and secret camps. And then now they've announced, yeah, you have no Geneva rights, no nothing. You can be secretly held, harsh interrogation. They just redefine torture. And now the human rights lawyers for Guantanamo Bay, Bagram Air Base, and others, it's in Reuters, AP, everywhere, are saying they, as soon as he was sworn in, the torture went into full scale like no one has ever seen. Just savage torture. Absolutely, man. They're building death camps everywhere. They are going hog wild. They're building them for us right here. Publicly being built, publicly being sold. And the Obama people, I mean, they are literally on cloud nine. They are just walking around like they've just seen a apparition of an angel. They are just, oh my gosh, everything's wonderful. Oh, this is so beautiful. This is so incredible. I'm going to play a video coming up later when we go live at PrisonPlanet.tv, and listeners will hear the audio. Just it just shows all these Hollywood people and folks. They're just going, I'm walking on clouds. It's like I'm in heaven. I just can't believe it. And you try to tell them, hey, he's torturing. He's actually expanding it. And they say, shut up, Nazi. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe how you're just so evil. Here it is. Guantanamo abuses has worsened since Obama, Reuters. Abuse of prisoners at Guantanamo Bay has worsened sharply since Barack Obama took office, as prison guards get their kicks in before the campus closed. Look how they spin that. Because the lawyers are saying, man, this is getting a lot worse. And then they're not getting their kicks. It's back to business as usual. According to a lawyer who represents detainees, abuse began to pick up in December after Obama was elected. Human rights lawyer Ahmed Gabor told Reuters he cited beatings and dislocation of limbs, spraying of pepper spray into closed cells, applying pepper spray to toilet seats, and over-force-feeding detainees who were on hunger strike. And that's a favorite form. They torture the Falun Gong like that in China. Let us run this tube down your throat. We're going to put 2 gallons of water in your stomach. It's for your own good. The Pentagon said on Monday that it had received renewed reports of prisoner abuse during a recent review of conditions at Guantanamo. All right. Then it says, but they found that it's being done in concordance with the Geneva Convention. Well, what do you mean? It was in AP and Reuters 3 days ago that Obama said, headline, Obama backs Bush on no rights for detainees. Read it and weep, you Obama cult members. I want to go to your phone calls right now because I've been promising to take a lot of calls. I know you want to respond to the president's address to Congress. And I heard the media last week saying the president's State of the Union, and I went, doesn't the State of the Union come up later in the year? And I looked it up last night, and sure enough, it was just an address to Congress. They're trying to sell the public on the carbon taxes, on the socialism, on how much government loves you. And the good news is, if we can stop the bankers from setting up this Bank of the World, or even if they set it up, we can stop them from taking control of the U.S., this will stall their whole agenda. And then NAFTA and GATT is in trouble. Every time they have a referendum, they would never let anybody vote in Europe to get into the European Union. They said it didn't exist until they actually had it set up. It was the same thing they're doing here. Same tactic, but there is a European Union, though people have emailed me saying I'm lying. It doesn't exist either. I mean, this is delusion. You have a nation and a world of cult members to the government and the media and the television set who just are incredible. And as long as they can find fellow members of their cult to second that we're wrong, it's like 8% of the country in polls thinks that the government didn't kill Kennedy. And then they tell 92% of us that we're the kooks. That we all wear tinfoil hats. No, it's you that are kooks. All right, I'm going to go to your calls. It's just that Ireland said no to joining the European Union. They were going to expand European Union control to where the nations had no sovereignty left a few years ago, and every country where they allowed a vote said no. This is the people for a decade have been saying, we want to vote, we want to vote. And they had the 50th anniversary of the European Union. Oh, I thought it started in 2000. See, they kept it secret. Really set up in 1957 under the Treaty of Rome, and they had parades all over Europe, and I saw the news feeds. They would have jugglers and huge floats and thousands of people on the parade and no one lining the streets. In some countries, people would line the streets, but they would turn their backs on it. This New World Order is like selling a vampire crosses, holy water, and big chains of garlic. They aren't going to buy it. The New World Order is not what the people want. Okay, it's anathema to them. And so all we've got to do is continue to expose these criminals, and they will fall. No matter how invincible and slick their packaging is, it's paper thin. It's rotten and decaying on the inside. All right, let's jam in one call now, then I'm just going to race through calls when we come back. Tom in Wisconsin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I hope you're doing well today. This is my first time calling into the show, and I just want to thank you for everything that you've brought to my attention. And you're not the only person, but there's really five figures that I wanted to bring up, and you can comment on this if you like, that can help bring awareness to the slave mind. And that's you, David Icke, Jordan Maxwell, Bill Cooper, and George Norrie. And each of them focus on a different sort of stream of information, and they present sort of a different view of this New World Order and what it's going to be and where it comes from and its origination. And then the second part of me calling in is I wanted to find out if you can, flesh this out. When the bankers actually realize that people are moving away from the dollar as a means of trade, when the tax revolts start, and the states actually begin to break away from the U.S. of A., the United States of America, that Barack Obama said in his inauguration speech, we will always be, through noncompliance. And at the breaking point, as far as a percentage of the people that are actually still enslaved in their mind, and the use of military force by these criminals, these mafia feds, that it will actually be futile in maintaining their system of control and domination. And as a follow-up to that even, at what point do you see the elites actually using weapons of mass destruction, like you've mentioned before, neutron bombs, as an outlet?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. They've said they will use neutron bombs on us if we try to rebel. Look, I appreciate your call. That is a mountain of important questions. Just to simplify it, I analyze the architecture, the physical, provable, demonstrable architecture of the New World Order. Occasionally, we have guests that get into the more esoteric things and what the elite believe in and what they're doing. And then it's just put out there in a secular fashion so people can make a decision about it. It's a sociological, anthropological statement that the elite are Luciferians. Whether you believe in Lucifer or not, they believe in it. And so atheists out there have to face that and then ask themselves why that is. That's in relation, to what I cover versus some of those other people. I'll briefly, when we get back, try to answer the other parts of the question, because it isn't the states seceding from the union. The union has been hijacked. The states are the union. Okay, so we'll explain this very important subtlety when we get back. It was an inside job. It was an inside job just like it always is. And it's an inside job for us to fix it. It's inside of us. While you are dreaming, this little island disappeared.
This little island disappeared. While you are looking the other way, they'll take your right to own your own ideas. And it's an inside job, favors collected. Your trusted servants have left you unprotected. Was an inside job, like it always is. Just chalk it up to business as usual. You think that you're so smart, but you don't have a clue.
They will keep doing it and doing it till we wake up. I know it's hard to live out in the light and face the truth even about ourselves. But if we don't do it, we'll be slaves. He says it so well right here. I tell you, Don Henley, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, people like that, you don't have to know them personally to know what's in their heart and mind. No, they know the truth. But I'll give you a little inside job knowledge as well. They do know what's going on. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Answering the last caller's question, Tom, then we're going to go through your calls here. Susan, Sean, Rob, Joshua, Mike, and others that are holding. This is the problem. How do I ever get to all your calls? Because the calls are all these complex questions. And we're asking what the feds are going to do as the states secede. Now, I want to be clear about this because people get confused by it and then claim that I am being hypocritical or double-faced. That is not, I'm not Janice here, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be clear about this. I am not for state secession. Unless it is an emergency last-ditch effort where the United States has fully been sucked in to the North American Union that's already being merged with, via the transatlantic treaty agreement with the European Union. What I am for is the states declaring their inherent sovereignty. It was the states that constituted and created the federal government. And so when states declare sovereignty and say, we're not going to follow your gun laws, we're not going to follow your open borders, we're not going to let the feds come in here and enforce taking people to jail when you set up your national draft and conscription, that is their job. The states created the federal government. That's why it's the United States. And if 35 states got together and said, we are abolishing the federal government, it is law. It is stated in triplicate, Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, that that would happen. But you can have states individually say that they're not following what the federal government says. Okay? Now, that's why they love Lincoln so much, and it's a complex case and very serious issue to weigh in on Lincoln. I will just say this. Lincoln set the table for total federalization and control. Then he didn't want Reconstruction to be brutal, so they assassinated him, and the bankers took over. So, see, you could even argue he was a good guy, which he really overall wasn't. But the system of tyranny he set up in the name of righting wrongs, that mechanism was then used to bring us to where we are today, totally dominated by foreign banking powers. Now, the feds will stage terror attacks. I'm sure of that now. They've staged Oklahoma City, 9/11, many other things. They fund real terrorist groups to carry out attacks. Many times these criminal groups don't even know their funding is coming from Western powers, but that's come out even in mainstream news over and over again in hindsight. Because their system is stalling very, very quickly, quicker than they thought it would. People are figuring out what Barack Obama is up to. There is massive awakening taking place. It's buoying to my heart and soul. and to my intellect as I analyze this. But that doesn't mean it's going to be an easy victory against the globalists. We have to expose false flag terror and stage crises, like staging a war with Iran. The globalists don't even need to stage terror attacks. If they attack Iran, Iran has more than 11,000 of one type of missile that has a 300-mile range. They've moved the carriers in close enough to be hit. That's one reason Fox Fallon quit. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you moving us into missile range? Because they want a new Pearl Harbor, folks. And that's why they came out mainstream news. Dick Cheney wanted to have Navy SEALs dressed up like Iranians in fake blue patrol boats attack ships to get that party started. And then they are going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. They're going to attack Iraq. And the Iranians will not back down. There's now 70 million of them. Their new census has come out, up from 65 million. Back when they had primitive weapons, they're much more advanced now. In an eight-year war with Saddam Hussein, backed by the U.S. and NATO, 350,000 Iraqis died, over 1.5 million Iranians. The Iranians are not the Arabs. And I'm not saying Arabs can't fight. Arabs have courage. They just historically are badly organized militarily, historically. Not the Persians, folks, and they will fight to the death. And it will start World War III. In the end, the globalists would probably win a war with Iran, nuking the daylights out of it and a lot of other things. But Tehran will launch real terror attacks in the United States. The globalists have got their infrastructure in for that. They'll use that crisis to bring in total control. The Iranians have been extremely reserved. 5 years ago, we reported here. 4 years ago, Cy Hirsch from New Yorker reported. A year and a half ago, the White House put out a public statement on whitehouse.gov that the United States was using four Wahhabist groups, another Kurdish group, Al-Qaeda groups, one of them headed up by the number three in Al-Qaeda. They're Sunni versus the Shiite-backed Iranians to stage terror attacks, attack police stations, blow up school buses, blow up dams, blow up mosque, to elicit an Iranian response. The Iranians have sued the United States. It's been in the Reuters and foreign press. You never hear about it on our news. Until a week and a half ago, Israel admitted in Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, and it was also the London Telegraph, openly said, we have hit teams assassinating people in Iran. We have hit teams bombing them and trying to destabilize them and fomenting revolution. An open act of internal war. This would be like if the Iranians were blowing stuff up in the U.S. and England right now. And we would just lay here and take it. And Iran says, you're attacking us. You're trying to destabilize us. And our government says, yes, we are. Just open crime. And people then email me and say, what are you for Iran? You know, they want to kill you. Hey, all I'm telling you is, when Iran rolled over and said, okay, we'll have a non-nuclear weapons program, IAEA, let the inspectors in more than any other nation on Earth, the U.S., Israel, and England started saber-rattling and said, now we're not going to let you have any technology, and we're going to put sanctions on you. And Iran, the mullahs then threw in Ahmadinejad, the radical. And then Israel says, we're going to strike you with nukes. And he says, well, we'll blow your Zionist state off the map. And then it's put out in our news that he said he's going to push Israel into the sea and kill everybody in Israel. He did say something close to that, but they massively exaggerated. The point is that this isn't good for the average person living in England, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Germany. It doesn't matter. But the globalists have the bunkers. The globalists that are in control of Israel, the United States, England, most of the world, they want, as the RAND Corporation has said, to have a world government in place. And to get that, they've got to have a massive worldwide crisis. So a lot of you bought into the rhetoric of let's nuke Iran, let's turn them into a parking lot, and you know, through extension, you feel manly saying that. You are going to end up being in a world war. And they know that through that stress and through the terror attacks, both staged and real, and through all the things that happen, most people may line up and go along with this. And in the process, you will accept the depression and living in a depression while hundreds of thousands of our boys are killed. This is World War III. This is planned. This is set up. And a lot of you out there are going to lose your sons and daughters in this. And most of you are going to lose your houses. And you're going to lose your future. And there's not going to be vacations anymore. There's not going to be going to Mexico anymore. It's collapsing. It's going to be hellish. Now read 1984 and decide, is that how you want to live? There is no right side. Not Iran, not the globalists. They're all evil. And that's how this works. And if you really want to let the eugenicists who control things maneuver the people into this, and if you don't stand up and say no, it's going to get very bad. And the left is going to stand down. They suddenly love war. They suddenly love torture. They suddenly love the Patriot Act. They suddenly love it all. By the way, it's in the news today about home inspections under the new green laws. They're going to be in your house. Folks, this is hell on earth. The people controlling the United States and the world are the very folks that funded Hitler, right out of the Milner Group in England, that funded Lenin and Stalin and Mao. David Rockefeller brags in books he's written in the New York Times, in my film Endgame, that they love Mao Zedong and they put him in power. He killed 80 million people, according to the Chinese government. Mainstream media says 64 million. I don't know. The point is, they are not playing games, suckers. And if you don't stop being suckers, you're in deep trouble. Okay, Susan in Illinois, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Susan.
Well, I've been awake for about 3 months. And the first 2 weeks, I was in shock and cried and felt betrayed. And now I'm pretty much just mad. And but with that, I wanted to remind or tell everybody to go to nationwidechicagoteaparty.com. I don't know if you've heard of it, but there's, you know, a nationwide tea party happening in about 35 cities, people protesting. And I'm really encouraged about that. And the second comment I just had was, I was wondering what your take was about the Pope. What's the Pope's role in the New World Order?
Well, the Catholic Church, and again, I hate to get in here and bash Israel because then it becomes it's about bashing Jews and it's not. Or I hate to bash Iran because then it becomes bashing Iranians and I'm not against Iranians. Or bashing, you know, African dictators and it becomes about bashing, you know, Africans. It's not. I have a lot of Catholic friends. Catholics are good, hardworking, great people. And, you know, just like when Pat Robertson comes out and says, China's doing what it has to do with forced abortions in China and calls for a new world order and says Obama's great and says global warming's real. I'm a Protestant brought up, and my family's Protestant. I'm not bashing Protestants. But there's no doubt that the Catholic Church, under the last pope certainly, and now under Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, openly, I mean, I have the videos.
Yeah, I've seen the videos.
But, I mean, I have videos of all the world leaders of religion around the obelisk in Vatican Square holding hands doing a ritual. And if you believe in Christianity, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
And Pope John Paul II called for a new world order world government. The European Union is and I've researched its roots. The treaty was signed in Rome. It is to be a Holy Roman Empire. That's why Blair, to be an envoy from the EU, converted to Catholicism last year. And it is certainly very, very serious. And they're calling for world ecumenical merger of religion. And it's just right out of Revelations. And that's why so many millions of Catholics are leaving the Catholic Church and you know, setting up their own thing that's more of a conservative Catholic Church, but I'm not here to pass judgment or get into all these religious fights and things. Again, I just lay out what the popes are saying, what they're doing, and it is there. I mean, I've got Catholic Church literature that Catholics send me from Illinois and South Texas and New York and just all over the country where it says guns are bad, you know, turn your guns in, having guns is not of God, and that's, they're on the FEMA payroll too. And we've got all these Methodist and Baptist and Southern Baptist preachers. Well, I mean, you saw them, Catholics, Protestants, everybody at that big thing with Obama where he's conscripting them and he's expanding Bush's faith-based initiatives to pay off the churches and to be, quote, community leaders and to watch their neighborhood. So everybody should ask their preachers or their priest or whatever, their rabbi, their imam, are you working with the government? Ask it in a nice way. Hey, I heard a lot of preachers are working with FEMA for emergency readiness. And they get real weird and say, how'd you hear about that? And say, oh, what? No, I just heard. I want to help. And then if they act real suspicious, say, hey, I want you to tell me. But a lot of times if you act friendly about it, they'll go, oh, yeah, we're preparing to help America. So it's very, very creepy and very, very evil. And organized religion is basically controlled by the globalist.
Right. Alex, are you encouraged about the Tea Party on Friday? It's this Friday, the 27th.
You know, I heard something about folks having their own protests and demonstrations. It's like in the Fed and all this other spontaneous stuff and groups. And I just think it's wonderful. Just more people doing more, just getting out on the streets and exercising those political muscles is just awesome, Susan. I appreciate your call. Sean, Rob, Joshua, Mike, and others. Continuing with your phone calls. I just love the grab bag. I love the spin the wheel of fortune. And never know what's coming up next, what interesting questions we're going to get from these great callers. So we'll continue with phone calls and then get into Obama's State of the Union, which really wasn't a State of the Union. It was an address to Congress. Get ready for your carbon taxes.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade.
Let's go to Sean in California. Sean, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. I nearly fell off my chair when Obama was talking about how he's going to talk to all the governors of the states and hold them accountable for the money they're going to be spending, and somehow he's like in charge of the states now. And you know, maybe somebody needs to remind Obama that we're a republic and that he doesn't get to hold the states accountable for what they spend.
Well, that's right. He's billing the states and also the people. He implied not finishing high school is no longer an option when he was talking about the economy. It's all about the people caused it with the subprime mortgage. The states caused it. You not finishing high school, which are just little induction centers to prison, you caused it. You know, not the government with 30 million illegal aliens bankrupting the states with the welfare and the health care. You know, not the feds taking the state money and sending back 33 cents on the dollar on average with strings attached. Not the federal government paying corporations to move offshore and to outsource. No, it's all your fault. But he'll fix it. He'll hold us accountable. Yeah, I mean, it's the whole speech. I watched most of it last night. We wrote a bunch of notes because we're down to the very end of the Obama deception. We're going to put a few clips in there. And it's just unspeakable, the amount of fraud and lies and just sickening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I implore all the states, all the state governors, don't take the money from the feds. Do not take the money. Just stay away from it because you'll just be under more control.
Well, also what it does, Sean, is he spearheaded with Bush the banker takeover bill, $9.7 trillion now, according to Bloomberg and AP. And they won't say where the money went. And then now, you know, most of the money's going to offshore bank accounts. That's been admitted, even CBS News. So it's all about him. I'm making sure the money's being spent right. I'm the good guy. I'm mad at these CEOs taking these bonuses. We're going to cap their pay. And then you read the order, the executive order, and it actually says they're all exempt. I mean, it's all just cold-blooded fraud. Good to hear from you, Sean. Rob in Canada. Hello. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, Alex.
Hello, sir.
I just wanted to call in. I'm a student of esotericism and these kinds of things, and I just wanted to speak a little bit about modern philosophy to you with regards to some of the ideas. And you are familiar with Leo Strauss?
Yes.
Okay. Well, essentially, one of the main
Chicago
ideas,
School of Business.
That's right, yeah. So anyways, I'm looking at this guy. And one of the main forces behind his ideas is the philosopher Parmenides, if you've heard of him.
Yes.
Who essentially has this idea, or it's a poem that even Plato, one of the former or a Greek philosopher from long back.
Yeah, he was a eugenicist, too. That's where the idea all came from.
Exactly, but I mean, he's the latest, you know, into the whole idea of aristocracy and the rule.
No, they're for killing the subclasses.
Well, yeah.
They just say, kill everybody but the elite, and then we'll just breed with each other. That's eugenics is 3,000 years old.
Well, that's definitely scary stuff. But essentially the idea that this guy brings out is that there's two different types of truth into reality. The one is essentially public opinion, and the other one is the truth behind that, which is essentially that everything is antagonistic or in some form or another you know, the world is in strife, and everybody, and this is where this idea of the two poles come in. And in
yeah, and that's where, that's why, I'm going to hold you over to finish your thought when we come back, but that's why Karl Rove told a group of news reporters, Washington Post, New York Times, he said, look, we're history's actors now. We control reality. We'll change reality next week, and then you will accept that reality, and you will watch and be history spectators. We are history's actors. And that's why they say there is no carbon tax as they set it up. There is no satellite tracker box by the mile as they set it up. You know, they just are total criminals.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. Going to be getting into Obama's address to Congress. Senator Byrd says Obama is involved in a power grab. The media will just point out this guy's a former member of the Ku Klux Klan. But we covered this a few weeks ago when the Washington Post reported the National Security Council is seizing all federal agencies basically under Homeland Security. So, I mean, this is dictatorship being set up. Seamless integration from Bush to Obama. So we'll be going over that, too. We were talking to Sean in California, and Sean was bringing up the philosophers that the neocons follow from the Chicago Business School and Leo Strauss and his ideas. He was publicly an admirer of dictatorships, and they nexed us in with another PhD offered out of Harvard, where Kissinger works and where Obama was his underling, along with Brzezinski and others. We've had Dr. Peter Boyle on about that. He's one of the only PhDs to go through that. There's only one a year who actually turned against him, and it was open discussions about how they were going to set up world government and enslave everybody. So we got to have Boyle back on. But let's go ahead and go back to Sean and see if he can finish his point.
Well, essentially, I guess the only point I really wanted to raise is the fact that the irony of the Straussian position is that these guys seem to think that they are in touch with some kind of secret. But the main thing that you have to remember, I think, for everyone, including people who are actually wanting to make a difference in the state of the world, is that knowing a secret is different from actually doing something about the state of reality.
Well, if you read that philosophy, it's a mind game. It's just like when somebody says resistance is futile, you've already lost. The public's been trained to go, okay, I've already lost. It's inevitable. Notice their talking points from Obama and Pat Robertson saying he loves him and supports him. He says, God says Obama will bring socialism. It is good. New world order. It is inevitable. It is inevitable. It is inevitable. It is inevitable. You know, what does the Borg say? You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. And, you know, that mind trick of Rove telling the press, reality is what we tell you it is. Just right. Like when the military is assaulting a position and they're broadcasting, we're not assaulting, we're here to help you, as they bayonet you. You know, the loudspeaker saying, we're helping, stand down. Weak-minded people will, it's like a Jedi mind trick. And they will just, oh, okay, you don't need to see his identification. These aren't the droids you're looking for. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, they still say, there's been more editorials written I've seen lately, you know, saying Alex Jones is insane, there's no New World Order, none of this is happening.
The problem there is what they what Strauss would say in mocking you is that the burden of proof lays to you, because already, you know, people are born into a situation.
And yeah, but this is a mind trick. I say you're a sniveling, chicken-necked coward. We are going to get the information out with the real reality and get people to assess reality themselves, and you are going to be defeated. History shows all tyrants fall. See, it's an elitism. I've run into people who are minions of the New World Order, and they'll say, oh, and they'll laugh at me and go, oh, is that really what you think? As if I'm insecure, as if them laughing at me does anything. It's a con game. These are just con artists.
Well,
that's all they are. They're scum.
They say all that is necessary is to deny, and also that, like I said before, the birth.
Well, this is mental illness. The country, the world's collapsing. They're collapsing it so they can rule a pile of dung. But in the end, they will fall. They're unhappy, sniveling pieces of trash. They're not in total control, and they will be defeated. I appreciate your call. They are mentally ill, drinking their own Kool-Aid. Okay? If they were true men of destiny, they would build up humanity. Because that is the true higher calling. They're not. They're weak, so they use evil to cheat. And they cheat themselves and their own progeny. They will be routed out.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Continuing with open calls, getting your take on President Obama's address to Congress, belittling the states, telling the public it's going to be great sacrifice, get ready for your carbon taxes. Joshua in Florida, you're on the air, Joshua.
Alex Jones, how you doing, my friend?
It's great to be here fighting tyranny. Great to be alive.
Fantastic. I called you a couple weeks ago about a 9/11 truth event we were having here. I wanted to give you a quick update, if I can. We had 40 people show up. We gave out about 2,000 DVDs. We got a fantastic response from the public. It's getting pretty hard to deny our claims at this point in the game. And I also wanted to tell you, this is pretty big news. Myself and about 10 other patriots were able to infiltrate a geopolitical summit at Florida International University and get some good confrontation footage. I just want to read you the guest speaker list that was here. We had Dr. Francis Fukuyama, Dr. Robert Kagan, Praj Khanna, and Dr. Fareed Zakaria. What do those names mean to you, Alex?
Fareed Zakaria, that's the guy that's a Bilderberg minion and the CNN propagandist. And again, if the people didn't have power, they wouldn't have their minions at every major university having summits called. They've been having them at UT for 2 years called New World Order. And we've gone and videotaped these where they go, we need to put people in FEMA camps. We need to get rid of the Bill of Rights or Al-Qaeda will kill us with mushroom clouds. And it's all just base propaganda.
Yeah, we got some fantastic footage. We were able to ask them some hard questions regarding the PNAC documents and a lot of stuff like that. But probably the most interesting thing, some of the actual panelists that were the professors that were asking questions, one of the professors in particular, Dr. Mark Rosenberg, he talked about his knowledge of a military coup to take place in 2012, and I did some research on him. He is actually a member of the Council on Foreign Relations as well.
You mean a CFR member was there admitting there's a plan for a military coup?
Absolutely. I want to send you the footage as soon as we get it together so you can put
it up. Don't send it to me.
We're putting it up on YouTube as well, but we wanted to give it to you. Maybe you could put it up on InfoWars.
Yeah, but it's key for you to build your own organization, your own websites.
Sure.
And but, I mean, certainly we might be able to use it in some other way down the line, but don't wait. Always just get it out and then put your own website up and build your group from that.
Well, we were working there. There's a group out of Florida International University called Federal Jack. They're very organized. They have their own website, and they've been posting all this stuff. We actually found out about it through them.
All right, let me stop you right there. This networking is key for our intelligence operations against the globalist, our counterintelligence operations. Fire out any websites. You guys have a website?
The Miami group is federaljack.com. And I visit there daily, and they have really good updates, and they keep tabs on what's going on in Miami. That's how
good.
We were able to find out about this summit.
Good.
What we really want to do, what we're trying to do in the state of Florida, is organize, kind of like have the Paul Revere deal, where if we hear any word that there's going to be some New World Order scum coming into town, we can get on
and
the
that way,
and
everywhere they go, when they're putting on their propaganda, you go and blow their operation by bringing up real issues.
Absolutely.
And then they'll go out of their script and look guilty and say incriminating things. Then you'll educate the faculty, the students, and others that are at these elite functions. And on top of it, then they will have pangs of conscience. And you'll see, I mean, there was a CFR member, Professor Castle, who now 3 years ago in an internal secret CFR meeting, most of their meetings are, they sign non-disclosure letters, But it was so important, he recorded it, and he said, okay, you guys say you can bury people alive, pull their fingernails out, crush a child's genitals in front of their parents, which was a real case, is why he was bringing it up. And John Yoo said, yes, the president can do whatever he wants. He's basically God. And so we're seeing rebellion against this tyranny, even within their own quarters, because a lot of these people in the CFR, it's now over 4,000 members,
right,
are people the globalists wanted to co-opt. And, you know, I don't know what Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are doing involved with the CFR, but I've got it on good intel from people that know them from two different sources in Hollywood that they've both seen my films. They've seen what really woke them up first was American Freedom to Fascism. I know somebody that met with them. I'm just going to leave it at that. And that they are aware of what's going on. And then suddenly she approached the CFR. I don't want to, well, this has been public before somewhat. I'm not blowing any cover. I'm sure the CFR knows. But it may even be an infiltration by her. You know, she's in that Robert De Niro directed movie about the you know, rituals and things going on at Skull and Bones, The Good Shepherd. And so I'm not sure, but it, you know, she's in all those Illuminati movies, but, well, I'm just going to leave it at that. It we're not sure about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, but give me the name, because I've heard that professor's name, the Rosenberg name. I want to get him on. Please email that to joeyv@infowars.com. And what's Rob's email? We have two producers. I Rob what? Just come on in and tell me.
Rob D at InfoWars.
Rob D at InfoWars.com. And so what's that professor's name again?
His name was Dr. Mark Rosenberg. And what was funny is he brought that up. He talked about the 2012 coup, and the speaker that he brought that up in regards to was Mr. Parash Khanna. And he, as well as a Council on Foreign Relations researcher, and he just tried to play it off like it was a joke. So I really think, like what you said, maybe there is a little bit of dissension among the CFR members.
No, there is.
I believe even at that point, it's still compartmentalized, I believe.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a pyramidal power structure, mainly so they can spy on influential people. And then they have questionnaires for their members. They find out what their political view is. And it's kind of like a Masonic organization. They're kept on the periphery. And then it's the inner boards and inner bodies that wield the real power. Appreciate the call. Excellent call. Excellent points, Joshua. Let's talk to Mike in Arizona. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, Alex. Thanks for everything you're doing for us down here. We're big supporters of you. And we see a lot of stuff happening down here in the city with an invasion of all the Spanish that are coming over here, and that's middle-class Spanish, that is, that are coming up over the border, which I've been noticing here at the rest areas.
Oh, yeah, it's most of the governors and mayors are now really living in the United States, in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, California, because everything's collapsing.
And,
I mean, yeah.
Yesterday you had a little thing on there on Carroll, Iowa, about Arcadia. Well, I grew up in that area down there. And you were saying that they were going to be doing some kind of operations down there?
Yes.
And those scumbags down there are targeting farmers that are 60 and 70 in that little town. You know, that's the average age down there.
Really? What
are those are retired people down there in that area. There's no young people down that area. That's more
well, what? You know, they say, oh, we're not doing gun confiscation drills. I've been to countless of these events, and it says they're going to go door to door and ask if they can search the house and then go through their closets and cupboards, and they're looking for a gun dealer. I mean, that's what the sergeant said it was, and, you know, now
there's going to happen down there, man. That county down there, the people down there are straight up Heartland people, and they're not going to put up with that down there.
Well, you know, we learned about it. We learned about it from a guy putting out a YouTube video and playing the local radio station, and he lives in the town, you know, by it, saying, we don't want this. We got calls from people in the town saying they don't want it. And then I tell the news that, and they don't believe me. They say, no, everyone in the town likes it. But in the very article that they wrote attacking me in the town paper, they have the, quote, real gun dealer in town who they asked to take part in drill saying, well, I didn't commit to the drill because I had more questions.
Who is this guy anyway? Do you have a name for who he is? Or
I've actually got, yeah, I mean, it's in the news article. I've got a dig it out. I actually talked to him yesterday. He refused to come on.
I know the sheriff down there in that county, in Carroll County, and his name's Doug Bass. And I've been arrested by him a few times down there through the years and for things that I've done. But besides that point, he doesn't strike me as that type of a person to take money from these scumbags that want to take our planet down. And we're pissed. And we're not going to let this shit happen anymore.
All right, Mike, I appreciate your call. I really appreciate your call there. Let's talk to Keith in Ohio. Keith, you're on the air.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here, buddy.
Yeah, I was just calling to talk to you about... I was listening to the news the other night, and I haven't been able to sleep for days. Our economy's crushed here, and they're... What are they worried about is taking our guns. That's kind of depressing here.
I mean, specifically the news was talking about taking your guns?
Yeah, pretty much. They got all this legislation in there to take our guns, and they're not worried about our economy. They're worried about our guns.
Well, yeah, because things won't completely break down. Like when the police stood down during the L.A. riots and the Koreans were the only people that didn't have their neighborhoods burned down because they stood up there with their shotguns and rifles and fired at the looters who were firing at them, so the looters ran off in fear. The police stood down, and they'll do the same thing like New Orleans. They'll let things break down for a few weeks, and then they'll come in on the edge of the town. The first place they'll go is the middle-class areas. They'll knock on your door. They'll take your guns. They're trained for this. This happened in New Orleans. And then they will just let the looting continue. And then if any citizens try to get out of the city, they'll machine gun them, as happened in New Orleans. That's on record. And that's the plan, is letting things break down. And they can't stand it that we're armed because they can't do what they did in Russia or Nazi Germany. I mean, they just really got a hankering to, you know, gut us and really go after us. But it's very upsetting for these scumbags that run things.
Well, all I can say is just keep buying them, putting them away.
Well, folks need to go out and also use their firearms. They need to go out and, you know, train with them to defend yourselves. I guess that's evil to defend yourself, though. I guess you should be like England, where if you break a vase over somebody's head who's trying to rape you, they charge you in your own home. Here in the U.S. now, if somebody hurts themselves breaking in your house, they sue you. The courts then side with the criminals because criminals run the system and they want to protect their brethren, their low-level little friends.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
Let me focus on
the needle tears a hole.
A few news stories.
The old familiar.
I was going through my stack, a few things I meant to get to in the last few days that I haven't, because I've been so busy. And we're going to get into what Barack Obama had to say last night and continue with your phone calls. We have a state senator joining us as we continue to cover in a long series we're doing in the next few weeks. Been doing it for the last few weeks on state sovereignty being declared to the 10th Amendment and 9th Amendment. But yesterday I mentioned the fact that every few days I see articles about soldiers being cheated, soldiers being forced to take experimental vaccines that's illegal, soldiers not being given bonuses or college money they were promised. It just goes on and on. There's no honor among the leadership of the government. It's totally bankrupt. And it will collapse like Mexico. Soldiers still waiting for tour bonuses. This is USA Today. And the Pentagon has not started complying with a law requiring the payment of monthly bonuses of up to $500 forced to remain on active duty beyond their enlistment period, military officials said. So it's a draft on those that have already served and filled their contract. And they're cutting the health care for World War II, Korean War, Vietnam vets. That's been in the news. They've said, you know, they claim they were also going to pay for people's families' health care. They're saying no on that. It's just classic. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman acknowledged the five-month delay in paying the bonuses and said that the Defense Department is working on a plan to start paying the almost 13,000 soldiers currently in the stop-loss system. Here's another one. This is out of AP Yahoo News. Army charity hoards millions. Fort Bliss, Texas. As soldiers stream home from Iraq and Afghanistan, the biggest charity inside the U.S. military has been stockpiling tens of millions of dollars meant to help put returning fighters back on their feet, an Associated Press investigation shows. As many military families dealt with long war deployments and increasing numbers of home foreclosures, the Army Emergency Relief grew to $345 million behemoth. During those years, the charity packed away $117 million into its own reserves while spending just $64 million on direct aid, according to AP analysis of its tax records. And that's only one example. Look, the people that run the military, they like killing third world people. They like destroying and dominating and taking over. They're savage. And there's this culture of let's kill, kill, kill. Let's kill the enemy. You know, kill them all. Let God sort them out. Yeah, kill you and let God sort you out. They don't care about you. They're there to use you. They're there to hurt you. You understand that? They will kill you in a minute and claim somebody else did it just to get a war going. And the sooner you realize that Henry Kissinger and all these people write books calling the military and police dumb animals. They revel in using you. They don't fight. They're the controllers. And, you know, there's so many of these military charities that when you study them and look at them, they're keeping most of the money for themselves. And it's disgusting. Remember United Way and a couple other charities got over $3 billion from 9/11 and then didn't give but less than half of it to people. And to do it, they had to sign away their rights not to sue the government to get that money. So they took citizens' donations and then kept most of it, but then gave the rest with strings attached. Remember what happened with the Red Cross after the Oklahoma City bombing? Millions of dollars was mailed, and the Red Cross, quote, took over sorting the mail and would cash the checks in their name, even when they were written, this was mainstream news, to family members. It would be written directly to somebody saw on the news, directly to their P.O. box, directly to their home. And the Red Cross didn't just steal the donations. They would sit there and take donations that didn't even have their name on it. That was in the Daily Oklahoman. And the Red Cross gave a lot of the money they got of the billions to gun control groups. And I told people on 9/11, don't give your money to the Red Cross United Way. You know, I've studied charities that I found out are pretty good, Meals on Wheels, but now they're using that to spy on the old people. It's been confirmed, and kind of report on them and, you know, bring in social welfare, the elder care. So anything good gets taken over. Most of the money, I think it's like 85% of the money you give to Salvation Army ends up getting there. Though we just offered to donate a bunch of expensive furniture to, you know, they always advertise they want it to the Salvation Army, and they wouldn't come get it. But I hear the ads every day. Give us your furniture. Give us your cars. Give us your refrigerators. And I said, okay, come get all this stuff. And they just said no. So, just pretty sick. Pretty sick. Come back, cover more news. Stay with us.
Federal agents, we are armed!
What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn it off? What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth?
Government, like every day, I watch it and listen and call them all suckers. They wanted me about Osama or whatever. Picture me buying the scam, I said never. You in tune to a hard truth soldier spitting. I stay committed, give up, cause I lose commission. It's all a part of fighting devil state mind control. And all about the battle for your body, mind, and soul. And now I'm hoping you don't close your mind so they shape you. Don't forget they made us slaves, gave us AIDS and raped us. Another Bush season mean another war for profit. All in secret so the public never seek to stop it. the Illuminati, 666, all connected. Stole the votes, they control the race and take elections. It's the Skull and Bones Freemason Kill Committee. See the dragon get in every city.
All right, we're back live. Yeah, think about that. The globalists stole two elections for George W. Bush on the record. Supreme Court appointed him. And then this elite supposedly then just let Barack Obama get in when they've got their electronic fraud machines in over 40% of the country now. I mean, do you really want to be suckered by this? Barack Obama is their man. In fact, they put Bush in to play the part of the little goblin and to then bring it out of the mainstream media, the secret arrest, the torture, the lies, the corruption, to then give you the savior. And it's with this savior that they're making their full move into world government. I'm going to do a news blitz right now and then your calls. I do want to encourage all of the listeners to remember that the Obama Deception is on sale now at theobamadeception.net or infowars.com. Coming up in only, what, 18 days from now, it will begin shipping. And that will, 18 days will be here in the blink of an eye. So get your order in now, because we're going to ship them out in the order they're received. And so the very first orders that will go out will be shipped out to those that have ordered first. And I want to get these out as quickly as possible. That's why I've been racing and working till midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, every evening, 7 days a week. Seeing my family about 2 hours a day, and believe me, I love being with my family, but I have to do this, and I have to make the film be powerful, so I can't rush it out and not have it be excellent. So we've been putting just extra work into it, and the film is almost done, and it's going to be sent off and be mass-produced early next week. So I hope everybody will order The Obama Deception at Infowars.com, and while you're at it, get to the new great film we're carrying, Eye of the Phoenix, America's Secret Beginnings, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. Amazing film, available at Infowars.com. The Money Masters and all the other great books and videos we carry, not just my 21 films. Truth Rising, Terror Storm, Endgame, Fabled Enemies. Toll-free number to call. You can ask about the discounts and get as much as 75% off on my films, T-shirts, books, materials. It's all about spreading the word. So be sure and ask about the specials. 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, and your purchases also make this transmission and broadcast possible, so we thank all of you out there for your support. You know, I have become so acclimated to the fact that the government openly has put out Pentagon plans to forcibly microchip the American people, and now it's even been mainstream news. I have become so acclimated to the fact that the globalists by design are collapsing every major nation in the world, that Mexico is now in civil war, that Texas is now under civil emergency, the border is under martial law, we had a state senator on yesterday, a society with 100 million people is collapsing just south of us, the stock market is plunging today right now, continuing to plunge every day. Most people I know who have college degrees or were educated are losing their houses. Most people I know are losing their houses in Austin. There's no one there to buy them. And this is supposedly one of the best cities in the country to be. California, Michigan, Florida, places like that are in free fall right now. They're openly building FEMA camps, openly saying they're going to use 20,000 U.S. troops against the American people. Army War College says they're training to engage the American people. They're doing gun confiscation drills everywhere, house to house. And then newspapers have the nerve to claim we're making this up and to say we're fear-mongers? I mean, go watch my films. I said they would have a contrived economic collapse through the derivatives market, specifically in the subprime mortgage, is what they would blame it on. And exactly what we said 12 years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 2 years ago, it's all happening. We know what's going on. This show, the guests we have, the information, it's all I do is interview experts of every facet, constantly read documents, constantly read news, constantly read legislation. And I'm just pretty much sitting here calmly as Rome burns around me, I'm not evacuating. I'm expanding in the middle of it. And if the people would just wake up to how bankrupt and how illegitimate and how criminal and how just overtly tyrannical the scum that masquerades as the government is, and the corporations that control it like a puppet, a hand puppet. You know, let's get past Obama. He's literally the little hand puppet stuck on there. A little smiley face. And I'm like, look, do you notice there's an arm beneath him? The special interests, the big banks, the lobbyist, all his lies, going back on everything, expanding the torture, expanding the secret arrest. Headline, Bush, Obama backs Bush on no rights for detainees. Reuters. Reuters headline, abuse intensifying at camps. And I talked to, quote, liberals. They just want to feel good and walk around like they're, everything's fine. See, they perfectly bring Bush in. He tears everything up, acts like a scumbag. Then they give you the smart, well-spoken, you know, intellectual, sell him. The media claims he's God, puts halos on him on the news. I mean, it's ridiculous. And says, he'll fix it. I know stuff's scary, he'll fix it. People say, okay, I'll do whatever you say, fix it. And instead, he is in the same course, same direction of George Bush, except Bush had the throttle down about 70%. Obama literally slammed the throttle down all the way in the ship of state, and that wasn't fast enough, so he went in electronically, took the governor off, and now the engine's just blowing fire out the back, going, it's going so fast. I mean, the skin on our faces is shaking and pulling back like we're astronauts reentering orbit as we just plunge like a meteor straight into tyranny. And there's just people going, oh, I love Obama. Oh, I love him. Oh, oh, he's so good. Obama, Obama. Meanwhile, the Republicans are all, how dare him have secret camps? How dare him expand government? How dare him do all these bad things? Meanwhile, you were the guys cheerleading Bush, going, Bush, 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 the government's gonna save me from Muslim extremists. How do you like it now? How do you like it? Who are you worried about? You worried about the bankers in Washington? Or are you worried about the man in the cave that made NORAD stand down and had Building 7 fall when nothing hit it? Who they admit's a CIA asset going back to Timbuktu. I mean, it is ridiculous. We are being financially, economically conquered with the military carrying up the rear because the elite can't allow the American people to take the government back because then we would prosecute these criminals. That's the thing people don't get about tyranny. The aim is to steal and loot and dominate and to use social engineering to suppress the public so that the criminal overclass never is brought to justice. I remember 2 or 3 years ago talking to the Dellionaires in Austin and, you know, the well-to-do people that live in million-dollar houses and think they're members of the elite because they get called to breakfasts with federal senators and they know Bush and have shook his hand and all this. They'll waddle around and, you know, pull up on their Harley-Davidson. I'm not bashing Harley-Davidsons, but it's just they're always on a Harley. They'll pull up some 50-year-old lawyer and go, ah, I'm doing just great. And, yeah, so what if they did 9/11? That's, yeah, you got to get tough to get the oil. I'm like, you're doing great with the stock market right now, aren't you? Well, they're going to implode that. And, you know, it's this attitude of, yeah, it's about oil. We're an empire, but we rule it. Oh, you think you're part of the elite. You think you're part of the winning team. You are nothing to them either. The minute they can rob you blind, they will. And they just don't want to kill you to save the little bunny rabbits and the bees and the whales. They want to kill you because that's what elites do. You know, the Romans went all over Gaul and Germania and what's Austria and Germany and France today. And they would go in to the areas and kill all the men, kill most of the women, and take the good-looking women and the healthy children back to Rome. And they had handbooks on how to do it. Handbooks on how to lie to them, how to even get them to lay down their arms. Then they'll use a minor infraction to renege on their promise because they wanted the terror. They wanted to have the people who they were going to face no, they were going to be killed. See, you don't understand that, though, some of you out there. So let me tell the police and the military and everybody else something. You can rationalize all day. You can post comments on InfoWars and Prison Planet going, yeah, I'm in the military, and we're going to put you people in FEMA camps, and we love it, and even post your handle to your Facebook, and there you are in your military uniform with a shaved head on a power trip. Listen, punk, you've been injected with time-delayed DNA programs, microplasms coated with viruses that are going to trigger and give you cancer between the age of 40 and 55 when you're no longer of military service. And when you're dying of the bioweapons implanted in your body, I know you're too mentally weak to even admit we were right then. You have always been weak. You have always been evil. And so you are with your father. It's what you want. It's what you get. Who did that song? Kind of that techno from the 80s. This is what they want. This is what they get. This is what they want. This is what they get. YouTube that. I bet you can just say, this is what they want. This is what they get. It was in a great sci-fi, low-budget B-movie in this dystopic future after nuclear war. And there's a... this guy is a commando, and he brings back to his girlfriend what he thinks is a repair droid he finds out on the wasteland. And it's really a killer droid. You seen that? Actually, you have stuff like that now. It ends up injecting him with the chemical weapon, but it gives you a nice hallucination of pleasure as you die, and he sees the kaleidoscope, things crawling around in his apartment. This is what they want. This is what they get. This is what they want. This is what they get. Get, get, get. You are going to get it. You're into death and skulls and murder and being tough and winning. Well, don't worry. Those above you are even more into it, and they hate you. They hate you as you serve them. And they're afraid of you. And so they're going to fly over you and spray you with the 2009 equivalent of Agent Orange, the DU. You're going to breathe it, and you're going to love it. Some of the news, you know, here's that Daily Times Herald hit piece, National Guard unit scales back plans won't train in Arcadia. And there's all this doublespeak in the article. But they basically say everybody loves it in the town. Everybody wants it. You know, it's not gun confiscation. They're just going door to door to ask if they can search the houses and look in the cupboards. And they're just going to set up roadblocks and block in the town. But everybody in the town loves it. And then they've got the one guy they asked to take part in the drill. And he's quoted Tony Vonnegut, I believe you pronounce it. I really feel sorry for the National Guard having to justify their actions. Tony Vonnegut, who'd been asked to play the suspected arms dealer in the drill, said he didn't commit. This is supposedly their star guy, and he didn't commit. Not the whole town's for it. Because he wanted more information. The guard had planned to hold a town meeting Monday, March 2nd, to explain the exercise, and that's for volunteers. To me, it was totally innocent, said Vonnegut, who was a real-life gun dealer. Yeah, they were going to practice taking over, getting in there, getting those... I mean, come on, folks. But things got ugly real quick. I got calls from North Dakota, Washington, Illinois, Ohio. It really had me concerned. My guts were torn up. I mean, I had people calling me, telling me to evacuate the city. I was thinking, this isn't even funny. This is wild. I talked to him yesterday, and he's like, look, my son was in Afghanistan, and, you know, the military's innocent in this. And I said, sir, look at your gut. Have you heard about them announcing how they're going to use 20,000 troops in the U.S. to engage American people? And he's like, no. And I said, you have internet? I said, it's Washington Post, Army Times. He's like, huh? And I said, have you gone to YouTube and just Google Police State 2000 and watch Marines and Army training to confiscate our guns? I mean, it's them saying it on video. And he said, I'll look. Call me back in a few days, and I'll look at coming on. But I want to find out specifically. In fact, call him back today. Because, I want to hear his side of the story. I'm sure he's a very nice person. You know, that's the other issue. People say, our government isn't evil. Our troops aren't evil. They know they're not. They're compartmentalized, and they're given false pretext, false ideas in compartmentalization, kind of a false script of why all this is being done. But we know the real script. This is what we do. This is what we study. That's why we can continue to predict the future over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. This is why we have the track record. This is why 3 years ago when they announced that Bernanke was going to be replacing Alan Greenspan coming up in 6 months, I said, you watch, they're going to implode things under him. And I said, subprime mortgage. I mean, it's, I made a film about it. It's called Endgame. A film released a year and a half ago. A film shot 3 years ago. Took me almost a year to make that. I mean, it's not revelation. It's not like God's beaming it down into my head. It's what they say they're going to do. And the military is training to take your guns. Speaking of the military, this is only one little purchase going out. This is 84 riot equipment. Notice that's the code number. It's called 84 Riot, Rex 84. Solicitation number W91QF4-09T-0005. Department of the Army, Army Contracting Agency, North Region, location ACA, Fort Leavenworth. And it is $6 million for riot gear for the National Guard, which has now been federalized here in the U.S. And I remember 7 years ago reading with the Army's website and showing it on my local TV show and on radio and posting it on Infowars.com and other sites, the 3 1-million man FEMA camps. And they said it was for the American people. Now, again, somebody ought to go pull those articles back up and republish. People are like, what camps? What's going on with camps? I mean, we only have... They put out the bids for these things, and, you know, we can hold them up, and you can call the Army if you like. In fact, they got a phone number on here. Would you like to give them a call? Would you like to go there and talk to them? I can give you the phone number if you like. What's really happening here is a private inner group of central banks are gobbling up even some of the mega banks that have been their front companies, insurance companies, and other healthy banks. They control the federal regulators. They have total secrecy. They have unlimited amounts of capital. So this is not nationalization. This is hijacking, grand theft, privatization. Here is AP. Big banks get ready for stress test. Ah, the White House run by Wall Street bankers. They're going to go in and take over the banks. You got to love it. While the Obama administration begins conducting stress tests on the nation's biggest banks to judge whether they can hold up if the recession were to worsen, you mean the depression, there was fresh evidence of weakening housing market with sales of existing homes falling unexpectedly last month, the lowest level in nearly 12 years. Banking regulators plan to scrutinize the final conditions of Citigroup, Inc., Bank of America, and more than a dozen other institutions that have received billions from the Treasury Department's $700 billion bailout plan. See, another lie. It's $9.7 trillion. The test will help regulators decide, you mean the elite bankers who are now in the White House, will allow the elite bankers to decide which banks to rob. I'm sorry. The test will help regulators decide whether the banks have sufficient capital and the right mix of it to withstand any additional shocks in the economy over the next 2 years. The test will also help regulators decide whether the banks may need additional assistance. That means federal money going into it and the bank being handed over to other private banks so that they can carry out the critical mission of boosting lending to customers, a key ingredient to the economic turnaround. Oh, yes. It's the banks and the media bad-mouthing the economy to drive it down so they can carry this out. On the housing front, the National Association of Realtors said Wednesday that sales of existing homes fell 5.3% to an annual rate of 4.49 million last month from 4.74 million units in December. It was the weakest showing since 97 and well below the slight rise in sales the economists expected. Continuing, here's another one. From AP, mass layoffs increased sharply last month as companies cut costs amid worsening recession. Employers took a large axe to their payrolls in January, the government said Wednesday, and the cuts are likely to get worse over the next few months. The Labor Department reported that mass layoffs or job cuts of 50 or more by a single employer increased to 2,227 in January, up almost 50% from the same month last year. That's 2,227 single employers that cut at least 50 jobs. You understand? So that's 50 times 2,227. January was a bad month for the labor market. Companies from a wide range of sectors announced tens of thousands of layoffs, including Home Depot, Inc., Boeing Company, Pfizer, Inc., and Caterpillar, Inc. Not all of these cuts were reflected in the government's mass layoffs report, which counts actual firings as reported by layoff workers seeking unemployment benefits. Many of the layoffs announced in January will take place over time, meaning that the department's mass layoff figures will likely keep increasing. So, meanwhile, Iran, this is out of Reuters, says no slowdown in its nuclear work, which the IAEA and the UN says is completely peaceful. Israel responds by saying they may attack them. So that's what we got there. We've got, coming up at the 8 after, a guest joining us who is Senator Randy Brogdon. And then we got William Engdahl coming up as well, F. William Engdahl, so stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
State Senator Randy Brogdon will be joining us from Oklahoma as we continue our series on the states declaring sovereignty. This is one of the biggest chances we have to beat the globalists. Though they will stage terror attacks to pose as our saviors and attack the people. Now they admit the Patriot Act's being used in the general public in non-terror related cases. You're all going to be on the terror list. This is how it works. He has helped pass the sovereignty bill, path set for other states seeking to reassert constitutional rights. In fact, can I get the bill? I had it in one of my other folders, but I need that Oklahoma resolution. All right, well, that's coming up. Let me go ahead and get into some of the other news that we have here in front of us. The Mail Online reports social websites harm children's brains, chilling warning to parents from top neuroscientists. And I've read over these findings. This just matches the literally, it's one of the most studied things out there, thousands of other government industry studies, internal studies by television companies themselves. You can just, as we've talked about, Google the term TV viewing Alzheimer's or TV viewing brain damage. And TV lowers people because of the flicker rate and other issues down into a dreamlike state of lower cognitive development. And the average person watches over 4 hours of TV, children even more. And so they don't, sociologically, psychologically, they don't know how to communicate with people anymore. They don't know how to talk to people. They'll sit 2 feet away, text messaging somebody who's right by them. And this is accelerating as people literally get sucked into their television sets, is the analogy. They are becoming, you know, Borg. And parents like it because they can go off and watch TV themselves or surf the internet. And, you know, radio, and they've done, you can Google these studies, because you have to listen, and then you have, and then your mind images everything you're hearing. If I say yellow duck, your brain just imaged a yellow duck. That made more neural pathways open up. If I say green penguin, you are now imaging a green penguin. Same thing with reading. Reading and listening to radio hit the same areas of the brain, but the studies show radio even more increases intelligence because you have to image it just from hearing it one way, and then with reading, you're seeing it. And then some studies say that it's both good for the brain, but that it just hits different areas, but it's similar. You can go read all these studies. But with flicker rates, with TVs and high-def screens especially, it's a flash. and your brain's picking up the flash. And it's a flashing light that hit me. I mean, flashing lights make people have seizures. And they've coded the Pentagon back in the 40s, had even calibrated the televisions and did studies. These are public on what mesmerized. I mean, they designed it to take control of your mind. And so they are hitting you and bombarding you with this. And there's all these studies out. It's just a fact that violent video games bring you into an even lower state, because you would think that because you're concentrating and watching a screen with a flicker rate, that it would actually increase cognitive, but it lowers the brain, not just into a sleep state or a sleepwalking state, but playing video games for long periods of time will, and people die doing this, will bring you into a state that is only found in people with serious sleep apnea, very low oxygen levels. But the oxygen's there, but the areas of the brain go into death mode. And because the people are fully focused, they're basically like hypnotized, they're meditating. And I mean, I remember playing video games, and that was just Donkey Kong and stuff, and I would get so focused because of the levels, it took such exact focusing, and for hours, just I would sit there and play. And I remember like stopping the game when somebody came in, and I would be like dizzy and in a daze. You were under mind control, but now you're not beating, you know, stuff with a hammer. It is ripping people's guts out, slaughtering humans. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Senator Randy Brogdon of Oklahoma is our guest. He is introduced mirror legislation to the House version that Representative Charles Key and others have gotten to pass the House. And, you know, people keep saying, can this work? Will this work? It's the only hope we've got. People are like, oh, Congressman Keyes and Representative Keyes, he can't get anything passed. He, you know, they'll never get it through the Senate. Well, it's got a very good chance of passing the Senate. Other states are passing this. We got Texas to introduce two different resolutions in the last week. Your calls. So I talked to the rep's office and had them on. Your calls spurred this. You're doing it. And we just re-educate the public. I guess they've never even been educated, so we can just educate them. But we have to educate the public on the fact that the states created the federal government. The federal government's out of control, bought and paid for by foreign banks, letting foreign corporations come in, buy off the feds, buy off the state legislatures, take over our roads, our infrastructure. That's what privatization is. It's not real privatization. And so here's the headline. Oklahoma House passes sovereignty bill, path set for other states seeking to reassert constitutional rights. And see, people love a winner. As other states pass this, and some states have completely passed it, and the strong language in these bills about no to gun confiscation, no to FEMA camps, no to handing our roads over to foreign corporations, no to handing our ports over, no to the banks taking over. I mean, it's happening. It's happening. We have to have the states as the leaders, as our representatives, take on the feds who we created through the states. So I'm just very, very excited about this, and I appreciate him joining us, Senator Randy Brogdon. Sir, thank you for what you're doing. Tell us exactly what's going on and how the listeners can help get this passed in the Oklahoma Senate so it's fully in place for the state of Oklahoma.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm always excited when I have an opportunity to spread the good word of freedom and liberty and sovereignty, and I have been welcomed in the state of Texas many times over the last several months talking on sovereignty and freedom issues. As a matter of fact, I think I've been down there about 9 times in different parts of the state discussing issues just like this and the NAFTA Superhighway, the TTC 35, sovereignty, freedom, the 10th Amendment. So let me tell you what we're doing here in the state of Oklahoma. We, as a legislative body, have decided that we are going to reclaim our state's rights. And you hit the nail on the head. There would not be a federal government had the states collectively not created the federal government. The federal government, Congress, has forgotten about that, and most state legislatures around this nation have forgotten about it. But, you know, true, we are part of the United States system. But just because we are a part of the United States does not mean that as a state or as a people, we are subjects to the federal government. That is not what it's all about. Congress has very limited rights, enumerated powers that we, the people, have given Congress the responsibility to do. Today, this Congress is the biggest bunch of overreachers and underachievers I have ever seen in my entire life. It is what this Congress is involved with is devastating to us as a nation. It is devastating to us as a free people.
If I could just add and get your take on the president's not State of the Union address to Congress, a 10-minute standing ovation as everything's collapsing and falling apart, Obama bad-mouthing the states and saying, we're going to make sure you don't waste the money when they take our state money and then send it back with strings attached, a tiny portion. And Obama's the guy who helped engineer the banker bailout. The very people that changed the laws in the 90s are now running his administration that set all this up. And they're just so proud of themselves. They're just so, both the Republicans and the Democrats, it was a sickening spectacle. Your take on that, State Senator?
Well, it was probably one of the most sophomoric speeches I've ever heard in my life. If you compare it to the Constitution, if you compare it to the founders of this great nation, and I watched as much of it as I could, and I saw Republicans standing and cheering, talking about putting limits on how much private industry can make. And so our Republicans in Congress have so fallen off the wagon, or they've drank the Kool-Aid. I don't know what goes on in Washington, but here's what I am convinced of. I've been serving in the state Senate for the last 6 years. I am convinced, without any shadow of a doubt, we can take our nation back, but it will be done at the state level. State by state by state, we must regain our sovereignty. We must implement the freedom and the liberty that our founding fathers gave us. And our 10th Amendment resolution, SJR 10 and House Bill 1003, uses some pretty strong words. We are ordering the federal government to cease and desist effective immediately of all mandates that are beyond the scope of their constitutionally delegated powers. And I dare say 90% plus of what Congress is involved with today falls outside of their constitutional authority and the enumerated powers that we, the people, gave them. And I'm telling you what, I'm on a charge here in the state of Oklahoma to take them back.
Well, we're with you. We're right behind you and right beside you, Senator. Very excited and just really, well, you love your spirit and the things you're talking about. And if you do compare the federal government today to the founding fathers, how eloquent, intelligent, their grasp of history, what they were doing, and you compare it to what's going on now, I mean, number one, they're only going to regulate and control regular businesses and small companies. If you read his $500,000 cap, which is total government control, total tyranny, communist and fascist do it. It's waivers for all the big banks and all his cronies, and it says they will selectively enforce who they put caps on. So it's even worse than just having the government put a cap, because, I mean, this is incredible. Talk about social engineering.
Well, President Obama has no moral authority to stand and lecture the citizens here in the state of Oklahoma or the state of Texas on how to be fiscally responsible. We have just witnessed something in the first 30 days of his administration with a very socialistic agenda. I mean, it borders on fascism, to where government and industry are now going to partner up, and it will be devastating to the free markets. It will collapse our country as we know it. But I'm telling you what, we can change it. Because the state of Oklahoma, we're not going to participate in his nonsense. We're not going to participate in his debt or his mandates. We're going to. This is my goal. I don't suspect we have a governor that's going to be very helpful in that right now. The legislature is making a very strong statement that we're reclaiming our rights, and we're going to order the government to get out of our pocket and out of our backyard. Leave us alone. Take care of the responsibilities that we've given them. And nothing more, nothing less.
Well, this is elite corporations. They're on record using the presidency and the executive and the legislative to hijack industry. I mean, they love this. I've got Financial Times of London articles where they admit the big super banks are just using this to buy up banks and other businesses, and now they're talking about nationalizing other things like oil and industry and automaking. I mean, that's great for the few CEOs that are in the Obama administration. That's why the Republicans are playing along, because they want, you know, part of that honeypot too. I mean, I think this is the greatest challenge this nation has ever faced, because as our forebears said, this country could not fall from without. It will only fall from within.
Well, that's exactly right. And there's one thing that will restore this nation, and it is to what I like to refer to back to the future. If we're going to have a future in this nation, we're going to have to go back to our founding roots and start living by the principles that the Declaration of Independence so clearly spelled out and protected in the rule of law with our Constitution. You know, Obama has been talking down this nation ever since talking down the economy ever since he has come into office. It's quite different message what he was sharing out on the campaign trail. You know, he did inspire a lot of people. And, of course, his socialistic agenda, I hope, fails and fails miserably, but it looks like it's going to be a stark reality here before too long.
Well, Senator, you're right. I mean, you're right when you say he was hope, change, we'll fix it right away. It's not that bad. And as soon as he came in, he said, you do exactly what I say.
That's right.
Or a crisis will be a catastrophe. That is economic terrorism.
That's exactly right. And what we have seen this week, the Bank of America stock fell 36%. Christopher Dodd gets up and does his little whiny boy talk, and we have Republicans falling in lockstep with him. And the monetary system has obviously been in trouble for, ever since we adopted the Federal Reserve System. But Citigroup this week fell 22%. I mean, they're almost a penny stock now. Well, guess who that's going to benefit? It's going to benefit the big players. It's going to benefit the federal government. They own now, I think, 40% of the stock, this is what they're wanting to do. The federal government is going to own up to 40% of the financial stocks in this country. You cannot become more of a fascist state than when the federal government takes over our banking institutions. I mean, it is just a bizarre situation we have found ourselves in.
Well, Senator, studying this, what's really happening is, under the banker bailout bill, it gave omnipotent power to the Treasury and the Federal Reserve. And if you look at it, it's really the Federal Reserve and offshore banks, through the glove or the apparatus of government, that are taking government control, just like big banks do third world countries. I want to get your take on that. I know you're a very busy man. We've got a quick break. Can we come back and get your take on that, and then give out the bill number and tell listeners all over the country, because this will be a domino effect, how they can let their voices be heard, but also we have a few affiliates in Oklahoma, how folks can call and make sure this happens, and also call the media and tell them, don't you badmouth the state senator and others, and Charles Key and others. You don't have any future, economically, fools, unless this happens. Look, America is 300 million people. There's 6.5 billion. Why do most of them live as slaves? They let corruption take over. Look at Mexico. They've got triple the resources we have. They're collapsing because of corruption. Free market and liberty is what made this country so great. And they're killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Stay there, Senator. Oklahoma State Senator Randy Brogdon is our guest for 5 more minutes. Sir, that question I asked before the break, I've analyzed this, I've had many economists on, I want to see if you concur. Nationalization's bad enough, but the Federal Reserve is private. It's really taking control and vertically integrating their competition. So they put the debt on us, but then they keep the profits. Can you comment on that?
You bet. And the Federal Reserve, it was probably one of the blackest marks of anything that has ever transpired in our nation's history. Most people have no understanding that the Federal Reserve is a private group of financiers. They literally run the dollar. They run our monetary system. That is not the way our founding fathers set it up. As a matter of fact, there are many debates and articles written, even in the Federalist Papers, talking about never having a central monetary or a central bank. It is the responsibility of the federal government to coin money. And once again, the lackadaisical, unconstitutional ne'er-the-wells in Congress. They relinquished that responsibility, handed it over, and now we have a black market of paper money that can be printed at will. Our inflation rate is so high today, people have no idea. I mean, the feds tell us our inflation rate's 3 or 4%, whatever it is. I would dare say our inflation rate today is probably up around 14 to 15%.
Well, you've done your research. That's what all the economists we talk to say, and it's going to go over 20. For those that don't know, the foreign offshore banks are collapsing the economy
right,
so they can have a fire sale.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they did this, and they need to be arrested instead of grandstanding as our saviors.
Well, and I mentioned before the break, Bank of America stock fell 36% this week. Citigroup fell 22%. Well, there's only a few people in this world that have an opportunity to go out and buy that stock at this fire sale. And some of that money can, I bet you a dollar to a donut, will come from China. So we're in trouble. We have still have opportunities. And I want to invite people to go to my website. It's just my name, randybrogdon.com. And I have written extensively about a lot of these issues that we're discussing. A lot of our legislation is up on the website. And I talk about freedom and liberty and sovereignty. And I have links to a lot of different publications. And so I would invite your listeners to go and learn more about what we're trying to do here in Oklahoma.
We've got your, we're also simulcasting on TV right now. Senator Randy Brogdon's website is randybrogdon.com. Go there. They have the bills. They have phone numbers. They have contacts. They have articles he's written. It's an excellent website. Senator, I know you've got to go into the Senate here in about 3 minutes. Tell us how we put pressure, especially our Oklahoma listeners, but folks around the country, on the Senate, because you told me they might try some chicanery. The state police have been trying to come in under the federal auspices and try to block things. That's what Representative Key told us.
Right.
So in the 2 or 3 minutes we've got left, tell us what we need to do.
Well, I think that we're going to get a hearing on this bill this time. Last year, Representative Key had his bill passed off of the House floor 97-3. And the Democrat floor leader would not allow, at the time, would not allow me to have a hearing on the Senate floor. That was the bad news. The good news this year, for the first time in our nation's, our state's history, the Republicans took control of the Senate, the first time since statehood. So we have a 26-22 majority in the Senate, and my bill has already passed overwhelmingly in Judiciary Committee. It'll be headed to the floor probably Thursday or maybe Monday or Tuesday. I haven't decided yet. And I suspect it's going to pass. And here again, we have two bills alive today, here in the, one House bill and one Senate bill. Eventually, I'm going to yield to Representative Key's bill because he ran the bill last year, and I was his Senate author. So we're trying to keep both bills alive just in case there are some shenanigans that take place, and make sure that we give the citizens of Oklahoma an opportunity to head down the path of reclaiming our sovereignty as a state. And I'm telling you what, I am encouraged what's happening here in Oklahoma. My assistant came in just a while ago, and she said, I've already had a call from a listener in California. So your message, this station and this message of freedom and sovereignty is mm-hmm. obviously making an impact as we speak.
Yes, Senator, in closing, you know, if we had real Republicans like you have in Oklahoma and like they have in New Hampshire,
right.
I've been interviewing people from all these states.
New Hampshire,
you guys
got
a
great resolution.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are really informed. You're the leaders we need, just like Dr. Paul and others. And folks, we need to get behind these men and women. We are the people that will put wind into the sails of the ship of liberty. And so I just hope you go to the website, randybrogdon.com. Brogdon is spelled B-R-O-G-D-O-N. B-R-O-G-D-O-N. And sir, when it passes, and we're praying it does, I want to have you back on, sir.
You
thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the invite.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon, Senator. All right, there he goes. We're going to come back, take phone calls, do a news blitz. I have some video clips I'm going to be playing as well, some key information. So please stay with us. The websites are prisonplanet.tv, infowars.net, and jonesreport.com. Stay with us.
Shackles, don't want no shackles on me.
That's Jimmy Vaughn.
Don't want no shackles.
The song No Shackles on Me.
Don't want no shackles on me.
I sit down with Big Brother.
I sit down with Big Brother. Don't like those RFIDs. Got the blues about my freedom.
Yeah, I got the blues about my freedom.
Got the blues about tyranny.
Jimmy and his lovely wife Robin invited my wife and I to go have dinner with Ron Paul this weekend, and much as I'd love to do it, thanks for inviting me, Jimmy. I can't because I'm going to be here Saturday night finishing the Obama deception, because I do have the blues about tyranny, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the sacrifices we make to get the job done. But side issue, I just miss out on a lot. I'm not whining. It's just if more people would get involved in fighting tyranny, those of us fighting tyranny wouldn't have to work as hard. But it's a great challenge, and I love it, and I'm blessed to be here. I want to race through calls, Steve, Glenn, Jay, Mark, Pat, and others. But first, I want to play a video clip. And by the same YouTube director, he's done a new one. First, in a few minutes, we're going to play the one that's on screen for folks that's just so poignant and really states it all on the record. He's done a new one on the mind control. In fact, I want to single out this YouTube director. Will you guys print his page for me so I can single out or show us his page? Let's go to the source page so folks can see it. One of the best directors out there. There's so many great ones. His handle is AENFROY87. Not the best handle, but a great page. You can link through. The video is called The Final Push for World Government. You can Google that, The Final Push for World Government, and then you can go to his page from the link over on the right-hand side. We're going to play two of his videos today for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Obviously, the audio is quite informative as well for the radio audience. Before we go any further, the Obama deception is about to come out. I'm finishing it up this weekend. Then it is going to go be manufactured next week. We'll get it back probably the 10th or 12th or so. And then we're going to be shipping these out, packaging them, getting them ready to be shipped out starting on the 15th. Get your order in now to make sure they're shipped out to you first. Again, theobamadeception.net, theobamadeception.net, or infowars.com to order, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Also, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors that makes the radio show possible, and that is Akola Blue. Akola Blue is an atmospheric water generator for your home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure, clean water without the fluoride. Unlimited water from the humidity in the air. Produces up to 7.5 gallons a day. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. And the radio ad you hear, I've got to recut it. It's actually 7 filters. We say 5 filters it goes through, including carbon filter, silver impregnated carbon filter, reverse osmosis, and a lot more. Here's their number, 800-691-6043, 800-691-6043, or acolablue.com, ecoloblue.com. Okay, let's go ahead and play this video dealing with the New World Order, and I want you to listen to the information at the first of it, because it's true. We're this tiny little planet, this little mote of dust in the universe, and it goes over the fact that everybody we've ever loved, everybody we've ever known, will live and die on this planet, and all these kings and queens came before us, all the crazy things they did, all the heroes, all the tyrants. We were all here. This is our special time to be alive here now, and we need to think about future generations. Just like our ancestors live on through us, we live on through generations that come after us. And realize that liberty is what everything good flows from, and tyranny is what everything bad flows from. And if the good people don't stand up and say no to evil, evil will win. And we don't want that to happen. So let's go ahead and go to this video. Here it is.
That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on the mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot.
Throughout history, the elite have always fought for world government. They've always sought to tyrannize the people. Now they're making their final push for world government. The worst elements of humanity in power because they're ruthless and are willing to do what it takes to get control. Free humanity is having war waged upon us by the social engineers, the control freaks of the New World Order. They funded Hitler. They funded Stalin and Mao Zedong. Zbigniew Brzezinski funded Pol Pot as he killed 3 million people. And now they're attempting to bring down Western Europe and the United States as they've done to all the third world nations. It is our turn to fall. Our turn to be killed. To be culled. And those that survive, to be enslaved. Take your destiny in your hands and say no to the New World Order.
There is a global meltdown coming. It is a global depression. And one world currency and one world financial system is the end game. China said last week they want one global currency. France said yesterday or the day before that they want one world order, a new world order, at the end of this event.
Tonight, a proposal for an expanded so-called free trade zone from Alaska to tip of South America. It's a plan from the business elites, the political elites, that will cost more American jobs, cost American sovereignty, but it would fulfill the president's father's vision.
This time, a new world order with business at the helm of trade and economic policy, effectively surrendering the sovereignty of the United States.
Which is what Bilderberg is into, by and large, the idea of a one world community, a new world order. You know, they see that as
they see themselves as a government as opposed to a group of world leaders or people with influence.
The European leaders have been pressing for an overhaul of the whole international financial system, and they will continue to do so. They are calling for an organization of a global summit as soon as next month.
Chancellor and Josie, very much for the transatlantic economic integration plan.
And for that too, we need to develop a common market, common standards.
So this is indeed a very important agreement.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international
order. The beginning of a new international order.
A new world order.
Of a new world order.
A new world order.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos.
The forces shaping this world at this moment are so strong, and they all tend in one direction.
We will expose the New World Order. We will expose the global crime syndicate. To David Rockefeller, to the Rothschild representatives here, to the Queen of the Netherlands, to all of you, we tell you, you are not our queens. You are not our kings. You are not our gods. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. Stand as free humans have stood since the beginning of time against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies. We are here telling you we will resist the New World Order. We will defeat your world government.
And if you hear the shouting, it's a group of demonstrators who come. 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, get a life.
They're going after everybody.
How do we know? How do the American people know that 9/11 was the stage, was engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, and Bilderberg Group, sir? That's what
we know about your new order.
Our government staged the Gulf of Tonkin to start the Vietnam War.
An inside job? How dare you?
Liberty will prevail. Tyranny will fall. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism, statism, and all the rest of modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure, something right. The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me?
All right, great video there. Let's go ahead and play their other video, then we'll come back and take a few calls and get our next guest on. Let's go ahead and go to this same director's other resistance video. Now, this gets into Barack Obama's brainwashing. It is extremely powerful. Let's start rolling this right now. Here it is. Listen carefully. In troubling economic times, people look to a leader for hope.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to win over hearts and minds. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama fraud. Welcome back to reality.
In Pakistan, meanwhile, the first apparent U.S. missile strike since Barack Obama became commander-in-chief. At least 17 people were killed, and the world is getting an early sample of the new administration's war on terror.
But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
And President-elect Obama giving new life to the North American Union, a plan by business and political elites to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway. All of which to be done without the approval of Congress or the American people. I mean, the old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
He's President Bush's ninth cousin once removed. Cheney's cousin Barack Obama is also Bush's 11th cousin.
One of the things I discovered is that Dick and Barack Obama are eighth cousins.
What?
Is that an amazing thing?
Even Obama's administration wants to increase spending overseas and increase military spending. As long as you want to run the world empire at $1 trillion a year, believe me, you cannot solve this problem. We are determined to take a serious recession and turn it into a depression if we don't change our ways.
Now we'll look at Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, investment banker, served in Israel's defense forces, senior advisor to Bill Clinton. Rule number one, never allow crisis to go to waste. They are big opportunities to do big things. To quote. And now his youth squads.
The idea of universal citizen service. Mm-hmm. You have to participate.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in a sense, it's a required of everybody. 18 to 25, 3 months. Because I think anytime somebody serves their country in some capacity, we're going to be stronger for it.
Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown says he fears President-elect Obama could establish a Marxist dictatorship. Brown said in an interview Monday, quote, it may sound a bit crazy and off base, but he's the one who proposed this national security force. Brown is referring to a July speech by Mr. Obama in which he called for a civilian force to relieve the military and from its national security burden. That's exactly what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. It's exactly what the Soviet Union did. He's showing me signs of being Marxist. You have to remember that Adolf Hitler was elected in a democratic Germany, end quote, Paul Brown.
Zbigniew Brzezinski, foreign policy advisor, founder of Trilateral Commission, foreign policy advisor Jimmy Carter, member of Bilderberg Group, close associate of Henry Kissinger, intel advisor to major U.S. corporations. As America becomes an increasingly multicultural society, we'll find it more difficult to fashion consensus on foreign policy issues except in the circumstances of a truly massive and widespread perceived external threat.
And we waged a variety of conflicts against the Soviet Union, but we always strove to maximize the number of supporters in order to isolate the opponent. I'm very much for the use of power.
I think Obama is clearly more effective and has the upper hand.
If we have actionable intelligence about high-value terrorist targets and President Musharraf will not act, we will.
The verbal reaction was swift.
Pakistan, being a sovereign country, will never allow any other country to send troops to its territory for any purpose.
To Dr. Brzezinski, he has proven to be an outstanding friend and somebody who I've learned an immense
amount
from.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, the end of your first term, more than 5 years from now, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I don't want to make promises not knowing what the situation is going to be 3 or 4 years out.
And I have to say, Obama is the most inspiring man. He told us all the doges our civic duty to participate and make this one big global community.
This man was born for this, and he was born to lead us, and I just feel so inspired.
Someone to actually make a difference in my generation.
I feel like I am living a dream. Yeah. I feel like I am, I don't get emotional. I feel like I'm experiencing.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, to finish this up and take calls.
And I have to say, Obama is the most inspiring man. He told us all the doges our civic duty to participate and make this one big global community.
This man was born for this, and he was born to lead us, and I just feel so inspired.
Someone to actually make a difference in my generation.
I feel like I am living a dream. Yeah. I feel like I am, I don't know, get emotional. I feel like I'm experiencing a level of inspiration.
Not only does he hear us, he feels us. And that when I hear Barack Obama, it's that he talks to my soul.
I feel like I'm in a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Except they're going over the rocks in a big waterfall down to the pits of hell. And all these poor suckers aren't going to be able to admit they've been suckered. And when they stage the terror attacks, they're going to have the brigades out, folks. And they're going to tell the people, if you'll just give up your liberties, we can protect you. And they're going to say, it's your fault. They're already saying it. Alex, you're blocking what Obama's doing. That's letting all the bad things happen. He's getting everything he wants, fools. Just like you Bush supporters. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. All right, let's go to some phone calls here. Appreciate folks holding. Just so I can get to everybody, let's just move quickly here. Let's talk to Steve in Texas. Steve, you're on the air. Here's some dogs back there, definitely with Al-Qaeda. Okay, Steve. Let's move on to Glenn in Arizona. Glenn in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I got a couple things on my mind.
First, you're thinking, sir? You need to be in a dream watching television and being happy and taking Prozac. Are you with Al-Qaeda, sir?
Yes, I have taken the pill. It's the blue one, though.
Good, good.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess your Wikipedia page is correct. I wanted to say thank you for everything that you do. I appreciate your music selection, too. It tends to express the sentiment quite well. And I would like to add For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of music we need to... I'm just so busy, I haven't been able to mess with it. Thank you.
Basically, I'm here in Arizona, and I've been seeing a progression in the amount of chemtrails in the skies. And every time I find myself walking outside, I look up at the sky with my four-year-old, and I get extremely mad.
Those are nutrient trails, sir.
Right.
Those are vitamins. Those are vitamins, sir.
Well, that's good. I was worried because my son has breathing problems, and it just, I don't know.
Well,
recently,
you know,
with that said, I just find it hard to find very many things to be happy about and joyful about, and increasing information that's coming out with you sharing with your guests and et cetera. Just, I don't know.
We're trying to take back the globalist command base with the states. These are murdering criminals that run it, so it's going to be a hard fight, but we don't have any other choice. Know this, life is not boring. This is the animating contest for freedom and liberty, and it's always a struggle between good and evil, sir, and the people stood down, so evil took over. And so it's up to you. I mean, since 47, they've been in total secrecy with unlimited funding in the national security state. Of course they ship drugs in. Of course they money launder. Of course they're engaging in eugenics. They think they're God. They think we're fools. And we're taking action against them.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So anything in particular for chemtrails, what could I do to potentially slow this down? Because it's disgusting.
Well, there's a bunch of programs under the aerosol high-altitude spraying program, and it's weather modification and a lot of other things. So we will do more shows on that in the future, sir. The government's only doing it to help you. Remember that. They love you. They care about you. Like we're children. They treat us like children. We're a nation, a world of children. It's time to grow up and have childhoods in and admit just how serious the world is. Or we can keep singing our nursery rhymes, watching your sitcoms, being babies. Perhaps the government, perhaps Obama, perhaps the globalist. Perhaps they're your friend. They can take your little shoe off, take your little sock off, and go, "This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. This little piggy went wee, 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 all the way home." Perhaps I should do a show like that. People say that they want me to be positive. Okay, the stock market was way up today, and everything's going wonderful. Society isn't breaking down. There's not illegitimacy everywhere. Cancer isn't exploding. Diabetes isn't exploding. They're not about to launch World War III with Iran. The Federal Reserve is federal and taking good care of us, and good people are in command. Everything's wonderful. La, 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 la. Or I could actually be really positive and tell you the truth about what's happening, hoping that you'll take action and we can stop it together. But it's up to you. Let's go ahead and talk to this little piggy, Jay in Washington. Hello, Jay. You're on the air. Jay dropped off. Mark in Tejas. Mark.
Hey, Alex.
Hello, sir.
Matt, I'll make it really short. I live in Tyler, Texas, and I'd like to thank my friend Jeff for waking me up to your show and kind of bring me to that back in last August. Been listening to it ever since. I got something to say real quick. I was in Dallas last weekend. Blew my mind when I heard it. It was actually kind of funny. Scrolling through the radio stations, and got on one of these rap channels in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and in between songs, the announcer lady started announcing this event that they're going to have at some local, at the Reunion Arena. They're gonna offer you to come and drop off all your old guns for $50 grocery certificates.
And then they enroll you with the numbers, look if it was in a crime. I know they're doing that all over the country, but in Texas, how shameful.
Yeah, it threw me off. I kind of laughed at first because, it's actually happening. It's really going on.
Well, you know why they did that in England and Australia before they banned guns is to create the news image of people handing in guns to police. And they say they're doing the right thing, turning in guns. Citizens owning firearms is improper.
And you should have heard the lady. She was trying to get out to that, I guess, radio listeners. And she was saying, think about what it's going to do. The crime rate's going to go down. If you don't have a gun in your house, your kid can't pick up a gun and shoot his foot off.
Yeah, that's the message, is that guns are bad. And you say this was a hip-hop station?
Yeah, it was 97.9 The Beat in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Maybe they should have said, turn in your guns. The government before just made the first gun laws for black people so the Ku Klux Klan could hang them and shoot them. Well, they want to hang and shoot everybody now, so be good slaves and let's all bring our guns down and turn them in so the New World Order can have their way with us, because we love gun control, which was started against Native Americans and black people after the Civil War. Maybe that should have been the message on that show, huh?
Yeah. But no, people aren't ready for the truth, and they can't handle most of it.
Yeah, well, it's happening everywhere. They've got country radio stations doing it. It's all happening. The message is guns are evil. Turn your guns in. Not, this is a terrible idea in Chicago where they've taken all the guns. In D.C. and New York, they have the highest crime rates and nobody's safe. Maybe she should have been saying that. Gee, we can be like New York and Chicago and D.C. and be hiding behind our doors at night being raped and killed at numbers 4 or 5 times, depending on the city, the national average. This is pathetic. This is pathetic, absolutely disgusting, and pathetic. And that station should be ashamed of itself. Anybody else pushing this type of garbage should be as well. We're going to come back with F. William Engdahl joining us from Deutschland, over in Germany. Stay with us. The Obama deception hits the info war. And its destructive power to the New World Order is in your hands. March 15th, the people strike back. It is up to you, ladies and gentlemen, if this film goes viral. So be sure and pre-order it today at Infowars.com. So you get yours first. Buy the DVD burners, the blank DVDs. And get ready. Get ready. Because this goes after him on the real issues and is power packed. All right, F. William Engdahl. Got time zone scrambled in today's over in Germany, so if he needs to leave early, that's fine. We'll get to your calls and some other news coming up, but we're going to go to him right now. He's a writer for Asia Times. He's written for Foresight Magazine, Grants Investor, European Banker and Business Banker International. He's an expert on, monetary history, the economy. He's a multi-time published author and researcher, and very interesting fellow. So we always enjoy having him on for his great insight. Separately in his own research, separate from ours, he came upon basically the same realization. It's a global eugenics system. But I wanted to get him on about the economy, the banks taking over, and this announcement for a new bank of the world that will rule every country on the planet. So world government oven by the bankers. But there's this mass doublethink going on where they're openly announcing everywhere world government ruled by bankers and calling it New World Order, but then simultaneously saying it doesn't exist. You're insane if you talk about it. So just mass insanity out there by the yuppies who are accepting that. Yes, world government's good, and I need it, and it doesn't exist when somebody criticizes it. That way they can't even ever have an intellectual discussion. They go, yes, I know they're announcing world government, but you're insane. It doesn't exist. But I am for the world government. That's the general public. So F. William Engdahl, thank you for coming on with us today.
Good to be here, Alex.
A lot is going on. I saw you write an article about Eastern Europe collapsing being one of the big triggers for world depression. Break it down. What are we facing here?
Well, this is unlike anything we've faced in history. The United States started out as the epicenter of the storm. I called it 2 years ago in a series I wrote, The Financial Tsunami, but it's gone beyond even that at this point. And what you have in Eastern Europe, you had, after the breakdown of the Soviet Union in the early 90s, you had the creation of a number of independent states or republics, they called it, in the Baltics, Poland, Hungary, and so forth. Many of them joined the European Union over the last few years. So Western European banks saw a golden opportunity to simply grab up the financial structures of those Eastern countries, which were very underdeveloped, as you can imagine, 45 years of communism. And they began making loans for homes. It's kind of a European version of the subprime debacle. And they made the loans, the banks made the loans in foreign currencies. For example, Swiss franc, where the interest rate was dramatically lower than it was in Poland or Hungary. And as long as the currency stayed stable between Poland, the zloty, and the Swiss franc, you had no problem in the lower interest rate. You just serviced your monthly payments to your local bank, which was really an Italian bank operating through your Polish subsidiary. And everything was hunky-dory until this crisis hit about a year ago. And back fourth quarter of 2008, banks in Western Europe, banks all around the world, began digging into the trenches and repatriating funds to shore up the holes back home in the balance sheet. And what that meant was the currencies in Poland and Hungary and these Eastern countries, they began to fall like a stone, 35%, 40%, in some cases 50%. And what did that mean for Joe, Polish homeowner, who had the Swiss currency mortgage? Suddenly, his mortgage monthly payment in real terms had doubled for him. So this is a ticking time bomb. Now, the IMF stepped in very gingerly early in the game a few months back when they gave this $14 billion bailout to Ukraine, which is throwing so much money down the drain, in my view. But they also stepped into the Eastern European economies, Poland and Hungary, to try to stabilize the currency. They gave the central banks a currency stabilization fund. Well, all that's doing is allowing the foreign investors in those countries to get their funds out at top dollar and let the thing collapse, at which case they can come back in and buy it back up at half the price if they
want. That's key to this international banking bubble. When they changed the rules in the 90s, as you know, sir, but for the audience that may not, they loan out fiat currency backed up by the American people and the people of the world, depending on the nation. Then the bankers implode it all by destroying confidence. Then they use the bailout money to protect themselves, and then they have the capital to go in and buy everything at the fire sale when everything implodes.
Well, look at the case of Argentina back in the 90s when they had that horrendous debt crisis. Yeah. And who did exactly that? The billionaire speculator from Quantum Fund, George Soros, he came back in and bought land in Argentina dirt cheap, no pun intended, literally dirt cheap, to the point where, as of 2 or 3 years ago, he was the largest landowner in all of Argentina.
And then he goes on TV and badmouths what happened there or is happening here, like they're the saviors. He goes before Congress and he explains how everything's working. I mean, this is sick. And now Brzezinski is saying, oh, there's going to be revolution. Oh, it's terrible. The bankers are bad. This is sick.
Well, Brzezinski was the executive director of the Trilateral Commission of David Rockefeller, so I'm sure he's not exactly crying crocodile tears over the woes of the bankers.
Please continue. So how do you see this global implosion? I mean, Japan imploding, China imploding, Eastern Europe imploding. You think, from what I've seen your writing, that Eastern Europe will be the trigger dragging down the EU? I mean, what's going to happen?
It's gonna get very dicey. It's kind of a ticking time bomb. And either the EU governments, which includes Germany, France, Italy, and the major, and Britain as well, are going to have to step in and do some emergency measures to stabilize these currencies. Through the European Central Bank. The problem is they're overstretched internally, so it's going to be a real stress test of the whole Eurozone construct of the European Central Bank, the creation of the Euro back in 1999. No one at this point. There are $1.7 trillion of debts involved in Eastern Europe. Now, of course, not all of that is going to go sour, but even if 10% of that goes sour, it's $170 billion. That's billion euros. That's a huge chunk of capital on top of the bad debts that are already accumulating in the Western banks.
But we have all these ticking time bombs, and now the credit card debt coming due, the financial bubble with people not being able to pay for their tuition. So you have a college bubble. You have the commercial real estate bubble. You have the military defense spending bubble. You have the state spending bubble now with inflation. I mean, I see no way this isn't going to just accelerate into a supernova explosion of destruction financially.
Absolutely. Let me say one very simple thing for listeners to sort this out, because I just actually literally today finished the last chapter on my next book, The Power of Money, Rise and Decline of the American Century. And in there, if you trace back the history of the money interest going back to the time of the Civil War, even before the First National Bank, the Second National Bank of the United States, the issue is always the same. And you saw it again in the remarks of Bernanke in front of the Congress yesterday. We will not go down the road of nationalizing the banks. Well, Obama as president to date is rapidly losing his mandate from heaven that he got from the voters back in November, because he is either terrified or, as part of the game, not touching the power of the banks. What it boils down to is either you nationalize these banks, put them through the washing machine of a Chapter 11, write down all the toxic debt to zero value on the books of the United States government, which is a taxpayer, United States taxpayers government, or should be, and then you clean out the management that made this mess in the first place wholesale. These guys start going to prison as they should be, or they go into some kind of redemptive social work to turn them back into normal human beings, if that's
instead
possible.
Instead, they're going to use the money to leverage a total global takeover for themselves, and the criminals are smiling and posing as the saviors, and I don't think the public has any idea what's about to happen to them.
Yeah, it's just the issue is so simple, but they make it deliberately confusing, so you don't know what's at stake here. You think Bernanke is defending the essence of American patriotism by saying we won't nationalize.
Well, I'll say this, Barack Obama
is behaving every bit as criminally as Paulson did and Geithner did when they let this mess develop in the first place last year with the TARP program.
Yeah, I've been watching Mrs. Obama's body language. She looked real happy the last few months. That lady doesn't look too happy now. She's finding out.
Well, the United States is going to go through 10 years of hell, as I said in a recent interview. And from this point on, it's going to get worse. 2010, you have the baby boomer generation cashing in what little pensions they have in stock funds, mutual funds, 401ks, and so forth. So that's going to pull more money out of the stock market in significant volumes, and also the bond markets. You're going to have the real estate market is tanking off the charts. The home prices are falling and home sales and so forth. And it's got a long ways to go before it hits any bottom, because who's going to be able to buy on these conditions? The banks aren't lending. They're sitting on their money. And it's just there's no new thing that's going to come in and jumpstart the U.S. economy. There's no Asia that's going to come in and invest in dollars. China is very, very reluctant to throw...
Stay there. I want to come back, because I was interrupting you, when you were getting into every bit as criminal as what we saw under Bush. And talk about your new book that's coming out as well, and if you see any way out of this, other than just identifying these criminals and hoping somebody arrests them. F. William Engdahl is our guest. We'll give you his website before he leaves us. Great author. Also writes for globalresearch.ca. Here we are on this ship. It's already run into a bunch of icebergs. It's going straight into a huge mountain of jagged ice. The very captains that have been steering us into it are dancing around, smiling. Obama had a 10-minute standing ovation. before he even began speaking. I mean, it was just amazing to see this. They're happy. They're celebrating. They've really screwed us. There's no doubt from your deep research, sir, that this is completely staged. Or what's your take on that? And then how do we avert this?
That Obama, the president, has around him right now. It's the people who are responsible for the mess of the financial system over the last period since 1979. Paul Volcker is this distinguished elder statesman of monetarism that was brought down by David Rockefeller to squeeze inflation out of the system in October 1979. He put the U.S. through the worst post-war recession over the next 3 years to help his friends in the new Wall Street bond market and prop up the dollar for his good friend David Rockefeller. You have Timothy Geithner, the president of the New York Fed, as U.S. Treasury Secretary, replacing Goldman Sachs' Henry Paulson as Treasury Secretary. Geithner was in on all of the decisions that were made by the Paulson-Bush administration on this mess in the first place, where they simply thrown away $700 billion of taxpayer money, no accountability on the TARP program until now, unless there's something new that I haven't seen from the GAO and so forth. They've issued reports that have been ignored by the responsible media, quote-unquote. There is no accountability going on, and there's no indication of any change. Look at Larry Summers, the president's chief economic advisor. What has he got to bring to the table but a career running the peso crisis in Mexico, running the Asia crisis for the Clinton administration, which was directed at ruining the tiger economies of Asia and redirecting their capital flows, their dollar flows into the U.S. Treasury bond market so Clinton could claim a Treasury surplus in his last year in office. These are the kinds of manipulators and monetarist madmen that we have that created the problem in the first place. So there's nothing. Well, the speech of Obama, he may have gotten a 10-minute standing ovation, but the president said nothing in any content that I've read that's offering anything more concrete than we are for change. And at a certain point in time when you're unemployed and you're kids are going hungry, that that mantra gets a little bit tiresome. So we really have to grab this thing in a much more aggressive way. And imagine that I were the president in the situation of the first 100 days. I would announce immediately a bank holiday. I would bring in independent auditors to go through all of the major banks, the not just the 19 money center banks that have been identified, but all of the major banks, especially doing business cross-border.
And do you think you'd find that they're all a bunch of Bernard Madoffs? I mean, more and more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bernie Madoff was just the poster child of the system. What he's done is just, par for the course.
And that's why they're so secretive.
The whole Madoff story has an intelligence background to it that has yet to come out. That's going to be a very dirty story, and somebody blew the whistle on that. But we'll know more about that as time goes on.
Yeah, a illegal funding arm for Israel.
Well, money conduits, money laundering, and so forth. That and someone that's the reason that he was considered untouchable by the Securities Exchange Commission. He had a certain red flag on his name. So they didn't touch him, but all of the details have yet to come out. Something involved, he had foundations in Israel that suddenly were left in the lurch, all sorts of things.
And by the way, we'd already heard this a month and a half ago, but then it came out, I know you know this, Mr. Engel, but some for listeners who may not, in Securities and Exchange Commission testimony before Congress, they said, we're not going to talk about Madoff, it's national security. They declared presidential prerogative an executive privilege not to cover it, confirming there's a national security, letter in there that, and so that's really hardcore.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. But anyway, the Madoff kind of thing, the Ponzi scheme, is par for the course on the Wall Street financial system for the last 35 years or so. But the Ponzi game, just the pyramid, got bigger and bigger and bigger, and every time it would bust, Alan Greenspan would jump in with a fire hose and pump the thing up again with some low interest rate scheme or another. And now the scale of this thing is just beyond, the fire brigade. So,
all right, stay there. Let's do 10 more minutes with you. I want to come back and let you finish up with solutions. We got to the point, until we digressed, into auditing these criminals? I mean, how do we actually audit these criminals? How do we investigate them? Well, it's all secret. They're keeping it secret because they're a bunch of Bernard Madoffs. I mean, he founded the NASDAQ. Stay with us. All right, we are back live with William F. Engdahl. We're going to take phone calls last 15 minutes of the show or so. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. Okay, go back into how we bring these people to justice. You'd gotten up to the point of we need to have an accounting of the Federal Reserve, an accounting of these private banks, but they're all exempt from the laws. Or they have their own officers in government, and it's a revolving door between administrations. Republicans go in, the Democrats go back into the private system. The Democrats go in, and the Republicans go back in the private system. It just goes around and around and around and around and around. And now they're conquering the world through this sleight of hand fraud. Continue.
Revolving door. It's as simple as that. People have to say, enough is enough. We're fed up to hear. If Congress doesn't clean out the Augean stables of corruption here, then we'll elect congressmen who will. And there are people out there who are in that kind of a mood increasingly. And, for example, what has to happen is the president and the Congress need to nationalize the banks, the bankrupt banks, the brain-dead banks like Citibank, Bank of America, et cetera. But not only that, they need to nationalize the Federal Reserve. Bring that thing under the power of Congress. Congress should never have given it away. It was a coup d'etat by the money trust back in 1913 when the halls of Congress were virtually empty before the Christmas recess, and in collusion with Woodrow Wilson, J.P. Morgan and the bankers cabal pulled off the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. That thing has to be nationalized back into public, real public hands, not the power of the private banks who control the Fed. Interest-free money. You know, two presidents have probably been assassinated because they introduced interest-free money through the U.S. Treasury and not through other means, through the banks, private banks. One of them was Abraham Lincoln, and the other one was probably John F. Kennedy.
And they tried to kill others like Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, well, Andrew Jackson, to my mind, was a heroic president. A few people understand what he did single-handedly to fight the renewal of the charter of the National Bank of the United States, which was owned, the name, just like the Federal Reserve or the Bank of England, sounds like it's a government bank, but it was a private bank owned by private bankers, many of them in London, not even in the United States, and controlling the gold supply and the money supply of the nation, the economy. So that's got to be brought back in public hands. Article 1, Section 8 of the American Constitution, the Founding Fathers put the power to coin and regulate money into the hands of Congress as the first article of the Constitution. That was given away illegally and to my mind, criminally by this coup d'etat of the bankers and certain colluding congressmen.
Well, here's another question. Instead of true nationalization of these fraudulent operations, we're paying for it. They're calling it nationalization, but they're now the mega banks getting power over the entire economy and sub-banks and insurance companies and masquerading behind the cloak of government. So instead of nationalization, we're having piratical, horizontally integrated, vertically integrated consolidation by the offshore banks.
Yeah, well, that's what they're trying to do. That was the Paulson idea. I think they miscalculated. We've differed on this previously, Alex, but I think they miscalculated on the fallout from the Lehman Brothers when it became incalculable which banks or which institutions would be saved, too big to fail, and which not after that. So then the situation really started to get nonlinear quick. But I think what they're going to try to do is regroup, create financial behemoths out of this mess as much as they can. But I think the problems are so deep that this is even coming beyond their their means to manipulate the finances. I think the in the back woods of the places like Bohemia Grove or the Trilateral Commission or Bilderberg or wherever they meet these days, these characters who call themselves the guiding elites of the nation are really beginning to think the only option they have is the military option. But even that, they've largely wasted away through the last 8 years of madness under the Bush-Cheney administration in Iraq, Afghanistan, and so forth. So
start a war so big that the people have to get behind them, and the austerity and the implosion. And that's what concerns me most. And I actually agree with you that it's gotten even out of their control at many levels, but there's still the instinct to greedily steal and consolidate power is overriding even self-preservation, because it's it's a ship of rogues and there's no honor. Because I know a lot of big money, and I know people that know a lot of big money, I mean billionaires that live in Austin and have houses in New York and other places. They've all been leaving the last 3 years, and you know, and I've from corporate lawyers and other people I know, you know, they're saying, quote, America won't exist by 2010. And so they're literally taking their billions and building armored compounds in, you know, the islands of the Caribbean and in the Cook Islands. And they're literally building bunkers. I mean, what do they think they've done?
Yeah. At a certain point, there's no real place to hide. You know, this affects everybody. You can't live on another planet. So
so what do they think they've done that they're evacuating?
Yeah. No, I read you. I think they realize that there are going to be some very, very angry citizens who are going to wake up and say, wait a minute, how did the head of Citibank accumulate $1 billion as president of a bank? How many fraudulent predatory loans did he push on people who couldn't even write their own name, but were told they would get a dream house if they just put an X on a piece of paper, and knowing that that was going to default, but they didn't care because it would be securitized through a special investment vehicle that was off the bank's books, and you'd get a AAA rating from Moody's or Standard & Poor's and pump the thing into some pension fund or some university pension fund at Harvard or Yale or who knows where, and spread this toxic waste all around the globe. I mean, that's the kind of mentality. I think some of these heads of banks like J.P. Morgan Chase and so forth, they believed on a certain level that this was a mathematical science. When Black and Scholes back in the 70s came up with this fraudulent options pricing model that seemed to be mathematical, they thought we've got the not the Rosetta Stone, but you know, the magic Midas stone that turns water into gold, and all we have to do is get these rocket scientists in our banking trading floor, and we'll figure out schemes and sell these derivative products, these credit default swaps, and so forth, make a killing, manipulate oil prices up or down, like banks like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley have done for years, and we'll just make money out of thin air. You know, at a certain point, you can't write a derivative on the entire global financial system. There's no counterparty to that particular contract, Mr.
So, in closing, from you studying this, F. William Engdahl, what are they trying? I mean, we know they're trying to bring a new world bank, world government out of what they've created, but it's so destructive that individually they're buying redoubts, armored keeps.
Yeah.
To evacuate to, I mean, it's clear they want to secure the theft and the fraud by using Northcom and military in the Western world. But what's going to happen when the military's family is bankrupt and homeless too? I mean, are they bringing us to the Stone Age here? Because this doesn't appear to be like other financial implosions of the past.
Yeah, it doesn't, and it isn't. I've been told by some very senior financial sources in Switzerland recently that the view is to let the markets go through pure hell up until the time of the April 2 G20 economic summit, and then by that point terrify nations like Russia and China into going along with this new world order that you're talking about. I frankly don't think that they're going to buy into that. I don't think that's going to happen, and there is no plan B for these guys. They are so used to just ramming their way through any obstacle over the past, at least the past 55, 60 years of post-war period. And, they don't have a plan B. So, well,
yeah, that's right. Hillary went to China and said, keep buying our treasuries. And they said, look, it's worthless crap. Well, what are we going to do? And they're like Siamese twins. We're all tied together. But it's I mean,
well, China has some options that that are viable at this point. But countries like the United States, there's no industry left to China's built up brand spanking new factories. I've seen this firsthand. It's quite impressive. The highway infrastructure is state of the art.
Trains,
airplanes, and so forth. Fast trains. You don't have that in the United States. We've become a post industrial junk heap.
But our men act tough, though. They strut around like this, going. They watch football. I mean that's product,
that
isn't it?
That counts for a lot at the end of the day.
Yeah, and our women act and dress and behave like whores, and the family's falling apart. I mean, isn't that tough? I mean, that's tough, man. We're tough.
Yeah, that's these are the tragic victims of this madness. But I just don't see it happening in this grand, beautiful scenario way that the rest of the world is going to bow down and tell the money trust, okay, we'll be your slaves and we'll do anything you tell us if you just print some more dollar bills. I think that's why I titled my book, Power of Money, Rise and Decline of the American Century. The American century, the dollar system of the Bretton Woods 1944 is over. It's the death agony that we're going through now.
But the globalists
are... people are affected by that misery. But, until they... force a cleaning of the Augean stables of the U.S. Congress and get some honest, decent people in there who don't let themselves be bribed or corrupted by lobbyists. They're going to get the government that responds to that kind of thing.
Well, so, we don't have any Hercules out there that's going to do it. And in closing, when we're looking at this, look at Mexico, triple the resources of the U.S. collapsing. South Africa, more resources than we have collapsing. I mean, that's the norm in history, is corrupt thugs get in, they steal everything, everything collapses, and they move on like locusts.
Well, it happens when you give the country's power over to the money interests. It happened in the Roman Empire, 400 A.D. It happened in every empire in history, the British Empire, and it's happened with the informal American post-war system, which they deliberately... The elites deliberately decided not to call it an empire. It's one of the most effective deceptions in history, but it's every bit the empire, and the people who framed it from George Kennan on down privately called it an empire, but they said, we'll be more clever than the British. We'll call it the spreading the torch of liberty, freedom, democracy, the American way of free enterprise. Well, okay, now you have the American way of free enterprise that they're talking about. And that's it's just reached the limits of growth.
Well, I see the globalists
reached the limits of growth.
Yeah, the tick weighs 200 pounds. The host is anemic and weighs 25 pounds. It's a tiny 25-pound creature with a huge bloated tick going. You know, with like TV sets broadcasting propaganda at the little starving concentration camp victim going, "I love you, I love you. I'm the government. These men in black uniforms are here to help." And we're laying on the ground going, "Yes, government, I love you."
That's a great cartoon idea for someone like David Deese.
All right, well, listen, F. William Engdahl, I want you to be able to give your website out. I'm going to come back and take a few final calls in the last segment. We're going to let you go. But, I mean, I see the Davos folks and others bragging that, oh, America's time is over, Time Magazine. It's all our fault. We did it. And now we're going to implode, and we deserve it. But that was always the plan. Use us up building the world order, then kind of have its pole move more towards Europe and Russia and China. And they're all New World Order, scam artists, too. They're just... weren't the top guys. So I see a new dark age in the U.S. collapsing with third world, what was Austria and Germany, on Rome, Mexico overrunning. It's just, I guess, total collapse and police running around in ski mask.
Well, it's going to be grim. I can't paint a rosy picture about it.
All right. Well, give out your website for folks.
www.engdahl.com. oilgeopolitics.net.
Or just Google F. William Engdahl.
Yeah.
And you'll find it, E-N-G-D-A-H-L. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me, Alex. I always enjoy.
All right, thank you. Take care. We're going to come back and jam in and give each caller 1 minute. So I'm going to come back and go to your calls in the final segment. That's it for the transmission. Wild show today. A lot of information got out. We're not painting a bad picture. We're just showing you what's happening. Remember, we're the folks that told you beforehand. And if the military and the police and the bureaucracy start talking about arresting people, and grand juries do, we can stop them. We can fix the bleeding. But I know you're into a power trip and you've just got to be destroyed. So fine. Just at least know you did it to yourself. I mean, that's the most important thing here, is that in the end, you repent of what you've done. That's what life's all about. You've been suckered by the New World Order, sold by their mind control experts, servants of evil out there, and you think you're part of the pet puppies, the chosen ones that'll be protected. You're not, and you're going to have to experience this now. And good people, even though we fought against it, we're going to have to experience it too. This is the bankers having their way with us. We're going to come back and take calls here in just a moment. I did want to take some time out to thank our sponsors like eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect.com is a fabulous website. Just the top of the line, 28 years in operation group. And I just want to encourage folks to go visit eFoodsDirect.com. They have a 3-day first responder, just 3 days of food. That's a test of the high quality food they have. You want a sample for you, $21.95. You can't beat that price. eFoodsDirect.com. Get a free brochure. Watch the videos on their site, eFoodsDirect.com, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. 1-800-409-5633. eFoodsDirect.com is the best storable foods company that we have found out there. Bar none. And one other great company that I want you to know about are the folks at survivalistseeds.com. Grow your own healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound and break free of the New World Order. This family business buys in massive bulk and passes those huge discounts on to our listeners. 15,000 heirloom seeds will provide your family with 7 years of healthy food. 15,000 of them. Stop buying and eating New World Order grown food. Grow your own healthy food in your backyard. That's 15,000 heirloom seeds at a great price. That's real food insurance for the difficult times we are already experiencing. Heirloom seeds are non-GMO, non-hybrid. Go to the website, survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Slaves hesitate, patriots take action. Survivalistseeds.com, a family business that's helping the truth movement prepare. All right, we'll be right back. We've also got a DVD, by the way, you can get from that teaches you how to do it and plan it. In Washington, you are on the air in these exciting times. Welcome, Pat. Good to have you on with us.
Hello, Alex. You're a hard guy to get a hold of. I wanted to call and thank you for your tireless research and your insight, your determination in waking us all up. I shudder to think where we're
Well, it's like being in a water chamber with the water rising. I mean, I don't need to be commended for trying to get the hell out of here.
No, I'm just very happy that there's somebody on the air that is committed as you are. Anyway, I had a whole bunch of things I wanted to talk about. That was before the last speaker, and now I'm on to banks. Andrew Jackson's farewell speech, people could Google that. It basically spells out exactly what's going on right now with the banks. It's totally predictable with a fiat currency and a private bank. And these guys have been consolidating power and wealth since the Holy Wars. And this last chapter since Rothschild and the Napoleonic Wars.
It was 1815.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great speech. But let's see. I was wondering if you had any updates on Max Kaiser and the COMEX prediction that he made.
You know,
gold.
Yeah, well, the mainstream news is saying the COMEX might default, but we need to get Max Keiser back on. I'm supposed to go on his BBC show in the next few weeks,
yeah.
But we'll do that, Pat. Thanks for the call. Call back again sometime. We'll have you on longer. Jason in Indiana, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering about the pandemic flu and if the government's behind it for, like, martial law.
Oh, yes, they're definitely behind it. That's one of the little tricks, little loving things they have ready for us.
I know they're supposed to meet, like, people at the fairgrounds to get shots and stuff, and I know right now that armored trucks are delivering flu shots right now to our county, so...
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Be sure and take the injections,
yeah,
the government.
Yeah, I'm going to take the injection. I think I'll eat some sauerkraut or something I heard about.
You're not going to take the injection when they order it?
No, I'm going to run for the hills.
You're not with Al-Qaeda, are you? Jason.
Yeah, it's scary.
Good to hear from you, Jason. Lou in Mass. Lou, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Hello, Lou.
Hey. So I just want to give a quick testimony about, I've been listening to you for about a year and a half, and I know that you think that the History Channel is down on you, but the History Channel is actually the one that woke me up. Basically the hit piece on you and...
Oh, yeah, that... listen, their propaganda only backfires on them, but shh, don't let them know the secret. Everybody attacking only helps.
Listen, I was watching this and I was
please,
like...
Please don't attack me! Please don't put me on TV and say horrible things! Please, no, don't do it! No, it's hurting me! No, especially people on the internet lying about me! Don't do it! No! No, don't! Please! Not that! Oh, help me! I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, but I'm just one of those.
I'm too weak. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, I was in Chantilly with you. I saw you in Chantilly. I was there doing a lot of filming. I put a YouTube video up. If anybody wants to check it out, just search Mass DLD, and it'll tell you. I got some great footage of you with the double bullhorn. It was awesome.
Well done.
All right, hang in there, brother.
All right, Lou. Good to hear from you. I'm trying to cram in everybody, like. Andres and Phil. I'm sorry, Phil. Call me back tomorrow in front of the line. Andres, you're our tail gunner. Go ahead, Andres.
Mr. Jones.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Sir, I'm a student at Arizona State University. I love your show. I'm starting a club next semester. It's a Democracy Activist Club, similar to what you're doing, looking for a right name. We're just going to put this information out on a mass scale at Arizona State University.
Call yourselves the Arizona State University Info Warriors. I'm out of time. Call me back. I want to hear more about what you're doing, brother. All right, retransmission with all those guests and all that key info. State senator up in Oklahoma, they're on the verge of passing state sovereignty. Retransmission starts now, one place, InfoWars.com. We'll be back in 70 seconds.